The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that?
Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Hey, turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drivey!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Oh, we are a miserable bunch right now. Eric Scalavino, Paul
right
Perillo,
now.
Andy Hart.
I'm
we
happy.
Are.
I'm happy makeup. Now. I'm out of the rain.
Well, yeah, but you know, funny. I'm out of the rain. I'm still
You're
wet.
Still soaking wet. We're cold.
I'm moist.
We're damp.
Moist.
I have a cold, and that standing out for 2 hours didn't help at all.
I also hear fuzz in my headphones. This thing on?
You have fuzz? I don't hear any fuzz.
I do a little bit too. Did you fix this one, Dougie?
Fred Kirsch is still out in L.A. Going to Dodgers games and
working,
going to NFL conferences.
Working. All I've heard about so far, going to Dodgers games and photos on the internet of him drinking till like 2 a.m.
Really?
I may have added the 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Our buddy Paulie in L.A.
Yeah. Oh, yeah
went out, better. Met him.
Did he? Oh, yeah?
They had a tweet up.
Oh, Paulie. Won't be seeing him anymore.
I know, because that commercial has run its course.
Now I got to turn my back on you.
That's true.
We really won't see him anymore. The famous commercial is gone.
It's gone.
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
Wet OTAs.
Yeah, we were just out there at practice, and it was raining the whole time, a steady rain for the whole hour and 45 minutes.
I'd love to tell you everything that happened.
Well, it's like last time. The same as last.
It was even worse than last time. They spent absolutely zero time on the field closest to us.
Plus, I didn't have Fred's
binoculars. Last time, there were a couple of drills that were done in front of us.
Yeah.
Nothing down in front of us.
More importantly, it was wet.
There was actually one time when the quarterbacks and the receivers were down in the
right-hand corner.
That's
when Amendola fell down and dropped
stuff. The walkthrough stuff?
Well, when
before they started?
Well, no. It was like early on in practice. But for the most part, Paul's right. We didn't really get to see much. It was on the far field.
Brandon LaFell was out there.
He was.
And just spoke in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric, you were in on that.
Yep.
Trying to think of some other newcomers or items of note. Was there anybody else that?
We should just
Jimmy Garoppolo.
We should update the show last time. Who was not there the other day and was there today.
Garoppolo,
Logan Mankins,
LaFell, Mankins.
Yep. So let's start.
Not all I'm sure about.
I think that's an obvious point to start on. Our first impressions of Jimmy Garoppolo. Throwing passes in a Patriots uniform.
Looked good. I don't know.
And now
he looked fine.
I'm going to say this.
I was focused more on bitching about how cold and wet I was than
talking,
I was watching practice.
We were talking significant rain throughout the practice. Not an easy day to throw and catch the ball.
And there were some bad throws by all three quarterbacks.
There were bad throws by all three quarterbacks, and I thought even worse, catching by all receivers, running backs, receivers, whatever. Everybody had a hard time.
Some spectacular catches, though, too.
There was one incredible catch by Shane Vereen and, about four or five horrific drops by Shane Vereen as well. Mm. It was a tough day to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And
tougher for no one other than Brandon Bolden. KK, as Paul Perillo would say. Can't catch.
KK. Yeah.
He tried the wheel route, which gives Shane Vereen problems. That bounced off his head and hands. Then they threw another one where he never even slowed it down. He Fred Taylored it. I think the ball actually accelerated off his hands when it went through them. I don't know why I'm yelling.
Yeah, why are you yelling?
I don't either. I mean, it was just rain. It wasn't like acid falling down on you.
We do have since the last show, a transaction.
We got a tranny. A
fairly significant one.
Yeah, they've added linebacker.
Yeah, Mark Harrison cut. I don't know why the offense is down now.
That's not the fairly significant part of the transaction.
To fans, it is.
Linebacker James Anderson, the leading tackler for the Chicago Bears last year, is now a Patriot.
And formerly of the Panthers, where he really started to get his notoriety.
Right. And to make room on the 90-man roster, which is full, they had to get rid of Mark Anderson, who was tied with Mark Harrison. Mark Anderson was another guy that used to play here. Tied with Armin Armstead for the most questions we've ever gotten for a player who's never played here.
Yes, but at least Armin Armstead went to USC, was a stud at USC, and played in Canada, and has a freak story.
Yes.
And Andy declared him the 21st best player in the Patriots, so he's got that.
Well, Bill Belichick declared him one of his top three defensive tackles.
Last year.
Yeah. Mark Harrison was never a top three anything. He wasn't a top three receiver at Rutgers. He was not a top three pick. He was not top three in the CFL.
So
he was not on the depth chart.
So
Mark Harrison was not a stinking squished ant on the bottom of my damn shoe, and yet he had a fan club in New England.
So you had Armin Armstead, a guy who hadn't played a down of NFL football. You had as a non-starter, third defensive tackle, you had as one of the 21 best players in the team.
So, I think Bill and I were aligned. I mean, have you seen some of the other positions? They don't exactly stunningly deep. Yes, I think Armin Armstead is better than Ryan Wendell. He's a starter. Ryan Wendell's a starter, but I think Armin Armstead's better.
I'm not willing to say that.
I haven't seen him play. I don't know. I can't say that.
If I ever see him play, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going with the Matt Cassel theory. He was highly recruited to USC. That means he was an elite athlete.
He must be able to play, yes.
Ryan Wendell has never been an elite anything. No offense, Ryan. Neither have I, just to clarify.
So now you and Ryan Wendell are the same?
Yes.
No!
We're not elite at anything!
He's in the NFL. You're barely on this show.
Well, I am the star of this show, if you believe the groundswell of support on the internet.
There is no groundswell on the internet.
And I don't believe it even if there were.
Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
It was a tough day to track stuff.
Yeah, 855, Pats 500. Week.
Brady threw a couple picks. Garoppolo threw a pick in team late.
Sure.
Mallett threw one that went about 10 feet over the receiver's head.
The weather had a lot to do with that.
The end of practice, they were seemed to be working in some hurry-up modes, getting, you know, matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those, I think all three of them, all three quarterbacks, ended either with a pick or an incompletion. And on the third one, the defense really sort of seemed to whoop it up a little bit. So there was a little competition, as there often is at these camps. And it was a day for the defense. It was not pleasant to be throwing and catching the football.
Amendola fell down once. Yep. He had a bad drop. Edelman had a couple bad drops.
Yep.
Yeah. Edelman, I mean, pretty much everybody.
Edelman talked about that. He was also one of the guys that was available to us when we came inside.
Steven Ridley.
And he mentioned that, you know, he dropped that one in the end zone. Remember the one that we all saw? And I think you said, oh, bless his heart.
Yeah.
So he talked about that, and he talked about how, you know, the coaching staff likes to, you know, it was no surprise to him that they stayed outside. The coaches like to generate some situations, you know, in an NFL game, when you're dealing with those kinds of conditions, they're doing the best they can to keep the ball dry. They're shuffling new balls in and out.
Like kind of like Danny Aiken today. He had them all jammed up, and he looked like he was Santa Claus because he was keeping all the balls.
They didn't do a lot today to get the ball in the best condition. I think they wanted a wet football, and they had a hard time handling it.
Well, look at how they handled it in Cincinnati when it rained late in the game. It hit the fan.
It did.
They fell apart.
Yeah, they
did. Worse than they handled it in the first 3.5 quarters of that game.
That gets lost, though, by most people, because it was like a 2-minute rainstorm.
Yeah, it was. It was a freak storm, and it was just like the end of the world rainstorm when it happened.
Oh, no, that was serious rain.
Yeah.
That was a lot more than what we dealt with for the last 2 hours.
Oh, yes. But overall, as the guy said, just a sloppy day. And
Paul says there were 81 guys out there.
No, actually, what I said was there were 41 guys in gray shirts.
Oh, yeah, and then I counted 40 on blue shirts, so we said there were 81 guys out there.
I'm not aligned with you.
Well, we had six guys that we know for sure were rehabbing and then went in the bubble.
Correct.
After the
and we
the
know some guys.
Those are among the 81.
Yeah, those are in the 81.
They count as the 81.
The guys who aren't are like maybe Dennard, who wasn't here last week. I don't know whether he's here or not today. Dobson, who we don't see out there. You know, some
I
of those.
I think Dennard was here today because I saw a play made on the far end where corner went running across the field, made a play to knock the ball out of bounds. Looked like he kind of came up a little hobbling.
Oh, I was trying to find, and he's hurt?
Well, no, but he took part in the rest of the practice. But he came bouncing back, and I saw on the shorts there was a 3 on the shorts. And it looked kind of like, at first I thought it was a 3-1, and I was trying to look at that, and I thought, man, that might have been Dennard. But again, it was just so difficult to tell.
And we also had multiple groups of rehabbers today. We had the early rehabbers, yes, which included Gronkowski, Gronk. Solder.
Yes.
Then we had some others that went late that I think they took part in some of practice, but Bolden went over there. He was a rehab last week. Tommy Kelly, maybe Armin Armstead. So, yeah, we have no definitive information on anything.
Really tough. Thomas in Denmark's writing in about the new linebacker. He says, guys, I think on paper and stats, the signing of linebacker Anderson looks very good with his great last season. But he had a great last season with the Panthers and a great single season with the Bears. But in both cases, they did not hold on to him despite the great production. What is it about him that we don't know? That's a good point.
Well, I don't know the specific answer to that. I think he's a little bit of a, you know, Paris Lennon type guy. You know, he's a veteran NFL player. As mm-hmm. I said to Paul, he automatically, in my opinion, becomes your fourth best linebacker. We've been talking about how you have Hightower, Mayo, Collins, and nothing.
Yep.
Well, now you have a veteran who, in my opinion, is now your pure backup. He gives you some versatility now where you can move guys around. Maybe he can play the middle. Maybe he can play the outside.
One Hightower guy goes down, maybe he can start for
you. Yeah. And, I mean, he's had multiple 100-tackle seasons. He's been a very productive guy in, you know, the crooked numbers. Guy probably has more crooked numbers in his career than Gerard Mayo at a similar age. You know, he's got sacks, he's got interceptions, he's got forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. I think it's a very, very good signing for a team that, to me, had nothing.
Yeah.
I think this was a major...
Might hurt my Cameron Gordon guy's chances.
Some people...
Not necessarily. No.
Some people didn't necessarily see it so, but I think it was a major area of need. I think they have three legitimate starting caliber linebackers in the roster. And the other guys, to me, were a mix of young guys / special teamers. And I think you needed to get a veteran. Now, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know a whole lot about James Anderson. I don't know a whole lot about him. I know what the stats say. He seems a little bit undersized, more of a coverage-type linebacker.
Oh, yeah, 230-something.
So... I'm not going to get lost in the tackle machine aspect. You know, I'm not blown away by that. That, you know, tackles is only a hair more important to me than receptions.
No, but for me, it's the 12 sacks, five interceptions, eight force, whatever they are. All that
you mentioned.
Stuff.
I think this is a really good signing for all the reasons Andy said. He does become their fourth best linebacker. And there was the other guy that you guys were telling me about a couple of weeks ago, and now I forget his name too. The veteran, there was like a fifth or sixth year veteran out of Penn State that they signed a while back. I think he was on St. Louis for a while. At least he's another linebacker that has some experience, but not too many. So they needed a guy like Anderson. Now, the emailer asked what happened. Well, they had a terrible defense in Chicago last year. So the fact that he was the leading tackler for a terrible defense doesn't necessarily tell me he had a great
year.
Might
be a little
Josh Hull?
Hull. Josh, that's his first name. Okay.
Well, Josh according to the roster, it's Josh N. Hull. The N is attached onto the end of J-O-S-H-N Hull.
Joshin.
I'm just Joshin. He's a Hull of a player.
They needed depth at that spot. Now, I don't think it was... you know, maybe the most pressing need, because if you stay healthy, maybe you don't really need it. But what are the chances linebackers are all going to stay healthy? You're going to get wall to wall.
Not even just stay healthy. Linebackers. Collins, I mean, is a young player who just has to prove he can do it week in and week out.
Yeah, we're anointing him the starter, but
because
of what we saw at the end of last year. But
I mean, he just, at least, okay, Hightower, maybe he's a disappointment in production, but he's proven he can play two full seasons of football, essentially. I don't know if Jamie Collins can play a full season of 16 games NFL football at a competitive level where he doesn't need to be replaced.
No, I don't. I actually have more faith in that than I do in Hightower. But that's just
really?
Me. Yeah.
Oh, I think Hightower has been proven himself a competitive NFL player. I still have doubts about Collins being a flash in the pan. I have concerns.
Well, I think we might be arguing two different things.
That's what I do. Unlike you and Fred, who argue the same thing. I argue different things with people I'm arguing with.
If you're asking me if I think Collins can do sort of, you know, what the kinds of things that he did late in the year for 16 games, you know, like against Indianapolis.
Well, if he does, then make him an All-Pro now.
No, I don't. But I don't think he's going to be that kind of guy that shows up like that. Now, whether he gets a pick and
that was Derek Brooksian.
I don't think he's going to be that kind of impact player. But I have faith that he can be a starting caliber linebacker for 16 games. I have faith in that.
I don't have faith in Hightower
because he hasn't really stayed healthy. His rookie year he missed a bunch of games.
Oh, yeah.
Last year he was healthy and for half the season didn't really do anything.
Oh, well, see, that's what I think what he is. That's just flat
well,
out.
I thought the second half of the last season, I thought Hightower was better. Now, that might have just been because he had to be, because no one else was out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think you moved to middle linebacker credit. And you said, okay, he's going
to
be.
You're asking him to do different things so he looked better.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I
you stopped asking him to be
like
the edge guy who can rush and who can cover
and
do this.
I know you don't. I
now
like to look at him as a glass half full kind of guy. I mean, we all know how I am.
Yes,
I tend to be overly optimistic about these things.
Yeah, the glass is half full of Miller Lite because he drank the first half and the second is chasing the other.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even get a chance to have one Miller Lite on my birthday.
That that's right. That we should say Paul's birthday was yesterday.
That was disappointing.
How old now?
111.
Come on now.
No. Mike Giardi said 58.
No.
That's what Mike
85 Bears. 85 Bears, baby.
46.
46 defense.
46 defense.
Halfway to dead.
No, it's
you're past halfway.
Today is also
92. I hope so.
Yesterday was your birthday.
I live in my 90s.
You won't. Don't worry.
Yesterday was your birthday, Paul. Today,
if you live to 90s, you're going to be one of those. What's the secret? It's a pepperoni calzone every day of my life.
I mean, listen, I would love to live as long as I can, provided that I am able to not
pissing
be
yourself.
Yes. Yeah, not be a burden on my family. That's I don't want any part of that.
Then you might
want
to off yourself.
Well, see, last show you were threatening to kill him. Now he wants you to kill yourself.
And this is why he should be killed. He's the most miserable bastard ever. It's, like, unbelievable.
It was your birthday yesterday. Today, you know whose birthday it is.
RKK.
Kevin Falk.
All the greats at this time of year.
Is it? Really?
Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft's birthday. Well,
according to Patriots.com, it's Kevin Falk's, too.
Yeah, well, I know it's Robert Kraft's. I don't know it's Kevin Falk's.
I don't know that it's either.
73.
No, I know for
I'm just believing
I think
Twitter.
It's 74, right?
73, it says.
Oh, I thought he was 74 today.
No. Yeah. Putting him sort of in the close to the middle, believe it or not, lower top of
his life.
No, no, of the of owners in the league, ranking the ownership in the league. Our friend Mike Reese ranks them all.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Dan, you know our friend Dan in Virginia. He actually wrote in, and he's from doesn't say where Virginia. He actually wrote in, doesn't say where. All is one word, Virginia. He says, "You guys heard Brady sold his house, right?
To Trey.
His California house." G'day, PFWs. Fred is in L.A. and the Brady-Giselle complex gets sold. Coincidence?
He is a deal maker. He's a broker.
Maybe that's why he was out drinking late. Maybe he was celebrating that he got the house sold. Fred.
I was like, Brady was out
No, Fred.
I just saw Brady. Just walked by him.
Taking a nice photo with a soccer guy
Or it looked like one of the equipment guys for the Mexico squad. It's going to be playing here
FC
against,
Mexico?
Against,
tomorrow.
No, it's Team Mexico.
Yeah, there's
who is that?
Portugal on the field.
Portugal and Mexico.
Yes.
Oh, play ball.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Chicharito.
Half of New Bedford's going to be here.
Yeah. We got World Cup starting soon, boys. Next week.
Yeah, I can't wait.
This is a little tune-up
does
session.
My guy play for England?
I mean, in all seriousness, Eric.
What's that? Wait, well, hold on. Wait,
go ahead.
Does my guy play for England?
Yeah,
who's
isn't
your guy? Hart a good goalie for somebody?
Yes. Yes, he plays for Manchester City.
And is he on England or something?
He's
or
also one of the England goalkeepers.
As a soccer enthusiast.
Yes.
And I know that you're not like not avid, you know, like where you have to stop everything. But are you like really excited for the World Cup? Or is
I am.
It just like, well, I like soccer, so I'll probably watch some of the World Cup.
No, I'm excited for the World Cup. I like
that
atmosphere.
That was a serious question. That wasn't like.
Now, who do you root for?
England or America?
One of my sarcastic
I root for both. I mean, if they play each other, I root for America. But I root for both. I'm Italian in my heritage, so I root for Italy when they're
playing.
They're
probably better, right? I assume.
Of course they're better, but
I mean, that's why. But I generally think a lot of people root for their heritage because America's not that good.
Well,
but then I wonder where their loyalties would ever be if America got on the same playing field as
all them. Well, they're getting there. I mean, 20 years
I don't know. The manager or the coach says they can't win.
20 years ago.
Did you see that? I thought that was the most irresponsible thing ever.
Oh, Jurgen Klinsmann?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not ready to win.
We can't win this. It would take 8 miraculous games in a row or something.
He might be trying to do the psychological thing, the reverse psychology.
It worked.
I think that's so irresponsible. I don't care.
He knows his players better than we do, though. So, I mean, maybe he knows he's...
Right, he knows they
buttons.
Can't win, but I don't...
No, maybe he thinks they can, and he's trying to put that seed in there to get them pissed off. Like,
it's terrible. Terrible manager.
You know, like in Miracle. You know, I need a hockey player. So I am a hockey player.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't care for it.
Where are you
trying
from?
To push the buttons.
Who'd you play for?
Yeah.
You, here at the U.
Yeah. But no, seriously, 20 years ago, the United States hosted the World Cup, 1994. That team with guys like Mike Burns, who's now with the Revolution in the front office, Alexi Lalas, those teams. That was at the time, that was the best team the U.S. had ever put out there. And I think they won a couple of games back then. They're light years ahead of that now. They're a much better club now. And even 4 years ago, they were talked about as probably among the favorites to challenge for the World Cup. That was unheard of 20 years ago.
Now their coach thinks they don't have a shot in Hades.
He doesn't really think that.
He does.
I really don't
he said
think
it.
Yeah, he said it, but
words
he doesn't
have
think
meaning.
That. He
they
doesn't
really don't,
think that.
Though. Do they?
I don't think so.
Not based on the ESPN guys, the way they talk. You know, they're in the group of death.
Well, they are.
Stuff.
I mean, they're in a
why
they're
is there
a
always
draw.
A group of death?
They really are in a tough
no, no,
draw.
No, no, no. And we're always, like, victimized by it. Like, there's never a group of death with, like, you know, two European teams and two African nations or something like that. It's always, we got screwed.
But why is there always a group of death?
Because there's a lot of good teams, a lot of good countries out there.
Sounds like poor seeding to me, or poor, you know.
But it's random.
They should say, wow.
It's not like they look at it.
It's another reason to criticize the sport. It's a random draw.
It's a random draw. They don't.
So you could conceivably
just say, oh, there's a great matchup.
Conceivably, you could have your very four best teams in the entire world
playing each other in the opening round.
Boy, that's
so you're eliminating two of them.
Right
off the go.
Another reason Sanger's doing.
Yes, another reason why it's a.
All right, we should probably talk Patriots. We did have OTA.
With all apologies to our good friends across the pond who. Gave me a lot of nice birthday wishes yesterday. Thank you. Love you.
They did. We're going to go to the Ace Ticket Hotline now, starting it off with old friend Melvin in Tennessee. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up?
Not much. I saw a little article. I didn't get to read the specifics of it, but someone was talking about basically Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis kind of being on the bubble over there in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So with that being said, and he was available, would you show any interest towards him?
I would personally. I think they are a little thin at running back right now.
Yeah.
And I think what they could use more of is a traditional ball carrier like him.
Yeah. And I agree. I'm with Andy 100%. And even if.
Now that, maybe this, Houston guy could end up being that or something. You know, undrafted, whatever.
Jonas Gray is a big dude. The dude that they,
yeah, he stuck out to us.
Stuck out a little bit.
We were all scurrying for the roster to see who the big guy was. Melvin, I'm with you. I would take a shot.
And you certainly would like, if you're gonna have a Ridley issue and have to bench him like you've had to do three of his first 4 years or two of his for whatever the hell it is, then, you know, Ben Jarvis be a nice guy here. The track record is I don't have to worry about him fumbling. Now I know he had a couple of hiccups there in Cincinnati, but from Belichick's perspective, whenever I handed him the ball, he had the ball in his hands at the end of the play.
And he found the end zone.
Right.
All right.
So, I mean, okay. I think he makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Happy belated pod. I told you on Facebook, but I'll get a chance to tell you.
Thank you.
Show, but no problem. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, Melvin. Thanks a lot. Next up, John.
By the way, just a real quick one.
Okay, hold on 1 second there, John.
I did ask PFW this week, and there were a few of those. Would you be interested in this guy? And Benny actually wasn't one of them, but it was
Rob Hausler.
it was Denarius Moore from the Raiders. Yeah. And I said, pretty much all of them, yeah. At the right price, I'm interested in adding talent. Like, yeah. Moore is an interesting guy. He's a big play receiver who's never had a quarterback. Yes, that fits what the Patriots need. Tight end, Hausler. He's a jag tight end who's better than what you have now. He'd become immediately your number two. He's got some one touchdown or a couple touchdowns last year. Yes, I would take it. I think there are holes on this roster that I would fill with guys like that.
Yeah,
now,
NFL,
I'm not giving up a two for him or whatever.
No, NFL.com had a list of 10 players.
Oh, Derek Morgan as a pass rusher.
Now, him I would take.
Brandon Graham. These are all guys at positions where I think the Patriots are
they
thin.
They could use a little bit of
and
an
they're
upgrade.
Veterans. Sure. That you're not, you know, you got Graham. Was a second or a first round pick?
First round.
Morgan was a high first round pick. You're getting value. You're getting guys that maybe they think were overdrafted because Graham is too short. Well, now you get them for a fifth round pick in a trade at a thin position. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And as I started to say, NFL.com had a story out about 2 weeks ago with 10 players they think may get moved at some point during the summer.
Yep.
So guys under contract with their current teams that don't either, you know, scheme change somewhere has made a guy like in Derek Morgan's case sort of made him expendable. Different players, and a couple of them, they had potential ties to the Patriots. But that's what we're getting all of this from, is some of these guys weren't necessarily tied to the Patriots, but a lot of Patriots fans are wondering if they would take. And Brandon Graham was one that was tied to the Patriots.
But my point is, I think they all make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I literally.
I'm not sure Hausler is as good as you think he is. I don't think he's any better than Hooman, to be honest with you.
Oh, I do.
And I think the fact that he doesn't know the offense probably makes Hooman even better than
Hausler. Probably. I kind of agree with
that. But Derek Morgan, Brandon Graham, as your, you know, let's see if
Moore,
we can catch lightning.
I would take any
lightning,
of them.
Denarius Moore, absolutely. I would definitely be interested in those pass rushers, though, because I think this first round talent there And you might get that lightning in a bottle guy that can come in as the third or fourth pass rusher, and all of a sudden, hey, he had 8 sacks for you, and that really helps you.
And then he goes and makes money somewhere, and you say, I didn't pay him either time.
Absolutely.
I didn't draft, overdraft him.
I think
it's
such a Patriots move. I think it's what Belichick has really done well over the last 8-10 years is gotten guys that, for whatever reason, have the talent but are available, and you get them at next to nothing in terms of salary. You get the best out of them. You let them go.
Right. John, in North Carolina, thanks for holding. You're on the show with the boys. What's up?
Yeah, I don't think there's any argument that the Patriots made a mistake with Welker. You know, Amendola for Welker. I think that was a big mistake. So anyway, I see a similar mistake coming up that's really not being talked about. I watch a lot of Patriots film. I watched 2 games last night from last year. And anyway, LeGarrette Blount, it was obvious that, you know, when he got the ball, he was the only guy on the team out of, you know, Bolden, Vereen, Ridley. He was the only guy that would, you know, rip off 17 yards, rip off 15 yards. You know, those other guys, nobody gets past 9 yards. I mean, I'm not talking about just highlights. I see, you know, LeGarrette Blount, when they were blocking and they were beating teams with the run game, and you know, LeGarrette Blount's the only guy that got into the second level.
John, I actually agree with you, and it's something Andy and I talked
kind
about.
Kind of factual, yeah.
Andy and I talked about it a lot during the course of the season. We used to argue with Fred, who, you know, you can talk about Ridley and the talent that he has, and I would be in agreement. What he's disappointed me with, more so even than the fumbling, is his inability to turn in big plays.
It's kept him from being a 2,000-yard
back. And I think John makes a very good point. You're talking about the same blocking, the same holes. Blount did, at least down the stretch last year, have the ability to get to the second level and make big plays. Ridley didn't, and the way that John described it, there'd be a huge hole and Ridley would get 12 yards, 9 yards, whatever. There'd be a huge hole and Blount would get 40.
Right.
And sometimes
that,
more.
The one thing I will say that he had a very good year statistically. I think he was at like 5.7, 5. Whatever. He did have some games where it was, you know, 2.3 until he broke off said big run.
Well, even the AFC Championship, it
which
was
I'm
just
not
like 2.3.
You know, it's a little Barry Sanders-esque, you know, a loss, a 2, you know, a 1 yard. Oh, and then I got 25. But, and I'll take it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying some of his statistics came in games like that. And I agree with you. I think he got $3.8 million to go to Pittsburgh on a 2-year deal. Like it's not like
sounds
he got paid.
Right? Yeah.
Running backs don't.
And he
get
even
paid.
Talked about it. Yeah. I saw him quoted in. I think he was on Sirius Radio. He was surprised that the market was so soft. Toby Gerhart was the highest contract, and everything. He was surprised that things didn't really unfold. And he had a good year. He was a key part of the offense when they didn't have a lot going on offense. I think he'll be missed.
I was watching the Ravens game last night. They had. Penalties. They had a lot of penalties through one stretch. The Patriots did. They had like 1st and 25, 1st and 30, and they got it with 3 runs with Blount. You know what I mean? And then they went back in the next series and had Ridley, and you know it was just a totally different look. I mean, I think he's a tough runner, but he does not do what LeGarrette Blount does, which makes people miss.
And
it's the second level.
The way I've termed it is he's like. Ridley is dynamic within about 10 yards. Like, he looks like he's going to break runs, but never breaks them. And he makes people miss within 10 and has a little burst within. But for some reason, it never equates to the 30, the 40, the 50, the 60-yard run. And at this point, you have to say that's who he is. It's not like a small sampling or whatever.
I kept thinking when he took the reins from Benny that you would see this other element of the running game, where not that he was going to be turning in, you know, Adrian Peterson or LeSean McCoy type runs consistently, but you'd see him busting 40, 50-yard runs, I don't know, every 3-4 games, you know? We haven't seen it a single time. I can't even think of what's his longest run? Has he ever run longer than 30 yards in his career?
What about that one in Oakland, his rookie year? Remember he, you know the game I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but if we're sitting there saying, what about that one? Then, okay, maybe he has one. I'm not even sure he does.
But it's a shame because that year, his rookie year when he came in those spurts, that was the thing we all talked about was like, he has big play potential.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shown it since then.
And I really think, you know, to further John's point of letting a guy like Blount go, and I don't necessarily kill him for it, although the price wasn't too much. I really think that this is Ridley's last year.
Yeah, it's possible.
So now you're going to be looking for another running back next year.
I was disappointed in the draft. I mean, I don't see how this guy White from Wisconsin helps things. I really don't. I was just disappointed. I think he's going to be, you know, third down guy, but yeah. I don't think he's going to. Would they get him as insurance in case Vereen doesn't come back?
Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, he's also in the last year of his contract. I agree with you. I like James White. I like that pick because I think there was a talented player that they got. Now, I might be a little bit clouded. We all tend to get clouded by the guys that we divide up the player profiles for the draft picks every year, John. And I did James White and talked to his coaches and stuff. And I think he's a talented player, but I don't think of him as being an every down back. I think he's going to be more of a Shane Vereen type. He'll have the ability to run the ball from scrimmage. And, you know, there might be a select game where it's a Shane Vereen game, like he gets 14 carries, for 100 yards against Buffalo. I don't think that's going to be something you see on a regular basis. I think okay. he's a 3-4-5 carry game guy, and maybe you want to throw it to him that many times as well.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
All right, John. Thanks for the call. Good stuff. That was a good topic. Brian in Essex, Vermont, writes in about Ridley and his longest run. He said it was 2012, 41 yards.
41 yards, okay.
Last year, 29 yards. 2011, 33 yards.
Yeah, 41 yards. He did have a long run.
The point is, they're so few and far between, we don't remember them.
But I would think that because of that, I would have remembered it. But, I just don't think that he's... I thought he was much more dynamic. He's not that much more dynamic than his predecessor. And I think that Benny had no dynamic elements to his game at all.
No, no.
See, I think he actually is that much more dynamic within 10 yards, and it just never equates to dynamic production.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's no question he's more dynamic than Benny. But I thought it wasn't even close. And I think it's closer than I thought. But it's funny with Blunt, is you wouldn't expect it. You wouldn't expect him to be the guy that's offering you the bigger play potential.
We saw it from the get-go in the preseason. He did it his career in Tampa.
And he did it in Tampa, too.
Oh, yeah, he's done it every time, everywhere he's ever been. And I'm sure he'll do it in Pittsburgh, even though he's by no means guaranteed any sort of a role with them. I mean, he's playing with the kid from Michigan
Le'Veon
State.
Bell.
Yeah,
right. Eddie in Maryland.
Big backs, by the way.
Eddie in Maryland, you're next on PFW in Progress.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Eddie?
Good, man. What's up? Hey, that host you guys had what was that? On Tuesday, the guy who talked about Brady.
Sam Monson from PFF.
Yeah, that was actually good, that was a good show you guys had. I like the points the guy was making. I think at the end of the day, though, I guess what he's not realizing is that Tom is special still. He's still special. Whether his skills are eroding or he doesn't have the pocket awareness, he doesn't have the talent around him. That's the main issue, but he's still special, and the Patriots are still going to, they're still going to be there. They're still one of the best. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't care what that guy said.
I think the issue he was sort of skipping past, even though he kind of acknowledged it, was the young receivers, the changes at receiver, and the number of drops and the number of inefficiencies there. And he kind of acknowledged that, but then said, but still he's slipping and he's not dealing with the pressure. And I'm not sure he really was tying those two things together enough.
Yeah, but I mean, just Tom, the most important part for Tom is Gronk, I think. If Gronk isn't there, I mean, that offense is just so anemic,
Well, he just doesn't have a playmaker. When Gronk's not, screw Gronk. Yeah. I mean, if it were somebody else, he doesn't have any playmakers. And he didn't, the one thing that faded, we all compared it to 2006, and we talked about that year, the amazement of what, he kind of turned Jabbar Gaffney and Darrishae Caldwell into a productive offense. He was able to do it. He scored points. It was the defense that fell, blah, blah, blah. That didn't happen last year. This offense was not very good in the late year.
2006,
I mean,
even.
The running game was the offense. The guy we're just talking about, LeGarrette Blount, was the offense. He wasn't culling together this productive where we're going, wow, he turned, Kenbrell Tompkins into a playmaker. Those guys faded. He had Edelman and nothing else. The passing game limped into and through the postseason.
Oh, yeah, at the end of the day. But, hey, guys, on another note, though, speaking about the Ravens, I was actually at an interesting place this past weekend. The Ravens bash in Ocean City, Maryland. And I saw one of our old friends there.
Who's that?
Our old defensive coordinator, DMP.
Oh, yeah. Very nice man. How's he doing?
That guy, That guy had the biggest ring I had ever seen in my life. Man, that Super Bowl ring was humongous.
Yeah, it kind of worked out for him when he wasn't brought back here.
Yep. Good guy.
Very good guy. Probably gets in the way when he plays the piano.
Maybe. Yeah, a little bit.
But I would have said something to him, but I was, you know, I was kind of having a couple adult drinks, and I was going to go whisper to him, don't worry, the defense wasn't your fault.
He's a good guy, too. He would have, you should have said hello.
How did you get to a Ravens bash? Out of curiosity.
My brother-in-law is a season ticket holder, a Ravens fan. So, he wanted us, me and my wife, to go down there. Him and his wife are down there. So we went down there for the weekend to hang out with them.
Nice.
So we saw a couple players, nobody famous, but it was a nice time, you know.
Good.
That was a humongous ring. Just want to call it, let you guys know.
Yeah, all right. He didn't win it here.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Eddie. All right. Did you guys see...
No.
Probably Colin Kaepernick's.
Oh, yeah.
Contract.
Fraudulent NFL contract?
Yeah. $60 million guaranteed?
Eh. Unless they cut him. Then it's not guaranteed.
Then it's not guaranteed?
It's only guaranteed for injury, and he has... big bonuses due April 1st of every year. They can basically cut him before April 1st in any season. He has some de-escalators if he doesn't reach that cut out the money. There's a lot of interesting... There is even a thing in there, according to Pro Football Talk. I should say that. This is all according to Pro Football Talk, which means it could be wrong. Mm. There's a thing in there where, like...
He has to get that qualifier.
He is guaranteed... It's injury, it's guaranteed for injury, but if he gets injured and has to collect on that guarantee, part of the contract is he has to buy a $20 million policy in which the 49ers are the recipient if he has an injury. So, like, it's a very convoluted contract. It's not the, everybody will say, oh, Brady has taken less over. When Brady signs a contract, he's getting all the money.
He gets the money.
It's like all guaranteed. There's none of this funny crap going on. This is a contract that has a lot going on in it.
Well, I also think that there needs to be something with the word guarantee. Because to me, a guarantee money, and it's very simply defined that if I get cut tomorrow, I get X dollars.
Yes. I want to say his is like 6 million?
Yeah. Brady, when he signed that extension,
he gets 6 million.
I want to say his guarantee upon signing is like 6.7 million,
I think. And I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but when Brady signed that extension a while back, and everybody was talking about how he took a pay cut, he actually increased his amount of guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was something like $57 million.
Oh, yeah.
That
he was right in the range of
so
all
that,
these.
That meant if 3 days after he signed that extension, for whatever reason, the Patriots just decided to cut him, he would have gotten $57 million.
That's not what guarantee means.
And Kaepernick is not getting that by all accounts.
Everything I've read, it's much closer to the Darrelle Revis Bucks contract that, it's 6 years, $96 million,
right?
Except every year I can cut you and you don't get it. And
pay as you go.
It's what it seems like. And I give them credit because when I first saw it, I said, they're out of their bleeping mind. Because I am not sold on Colin Kaepernick.
Because you don't think he's very good.
Yeah. I am not sold that he is an elite franchise quarterback. And he was paid like he's not proven to be an elite franchise quarterback. I give them credit for getting the deal done. Now, everybody's saying that Wilson and Luck, who are coming, sort of next on the horizon, they are going to take it to the $25 million a year range. And certainly Luck is probably going to be a legitimate, for the most part, it's a real contract that he's going to sign.
Mm. But do you think this will affect Brady? With, he's going to be moving toward those 3 years, that 7, 8, 9 million, those last 3 years in 15, 16, and 17. Most people don't believe he'll be playing for those totals anyway. Now you get guys that have proven nothing. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, who I'm higher on than you are, but facts are the facts. I mean, Brady has won more playoff games than this guy has played.
Right.
Games played almost, So I wonder if this leads to sort of some friction there.
Do you think they're just going to, give him, he's just going to just sign a new contract with a large raise? I've heard a lot of people say that. Yeah.
I think a lot depends on what happens. I think a lot depends on how he plays this year and moving forward.
I don't.
What they think of Garoppolo.
I don't think so.
See, I don't either.
I think they're poised. I think they're priming themselves to move on. I do. I don't think he's going to. Do you think, you guys don't think they're going to give him the raise? I tend to agree with you. Let's ask the second part of that question that needs to be asked. Do you think he'll play for 7, 8, 9 million in 15, 16, and 17?
I don't know.
See, I don't. I don't think he'll play for them.
Because I'm totally torn. I think Bill Belichick will walk away from Brady anytime he wants.
Yeah.
But then my other thing is, and maybe I'm being too, like, cynical or whatever, this whole thing where he has a TB12 training center at Patriot Place, and he's building a mansion in Robert Kraft's backyard.
He must know something.
In which the, no, it's not even that. It's just they seem to be, like, utterly intertwined. And I just, it doesn't feel like it's just a player owner relationship and they can just cut him and move on. It feels like there's a lot more going on.
It's a good point. It's a valid point, because if your business interests are aligned that much, how do you justify saying
right,
you're not with us anymore before your contract?
It's almost
out.
Like, to use a relationship, it's like, you know, some teams have a quarterback that they're dating. They've been dating a long time, but they're still just dating. They haven't added the bank account, the kid, the home. I feel like Brady and Kraft and the Patriots have a kid, joint bank account, a home, a couple home. Like, they're very much tied.
He has one less home now.
Yes, he does. But a lot bigger bank
account. A lot bigger bank account. Absolutely. Christopher in Hamilton, Ontario. That's Christopher with a K.
Okay.
For those of you scoring at home.
Like Christofferson?
Yes. Is talking about the quarterback.
Surprised you know who that is.
Chris Christofferson?
Quarterback contract discussion we were just having.
He's got a mustache.
Why wouldn't you just know? Yeah, he does.
What does he do? Is he an actor?
He was
or
a singer originally.
Like a country singer.
And then became sort of an actor.
In the
70s.
Yeah, I've seen him. And stuff,
entertainer, I
think
you could just qualify him as.
Like me.
No. Not even. No. No.
Whatever the opposite of that is, that would be you. Not entertaining.
No.
Not talented.
Christopher says, hi, guys. I know you don't like talking about other QBs, what we just have been, but after seeing the Kaepernick Mammoth signing, it got me thinking how
not
much...
Not Mammoth. Relax.
It got me thinking how much these new QBs would get if their contracts ended at the end of this year. Cap, I think, is scheduled $20 million per year.
Ish.
And he says, Kaepernick, is he worth the contract?
No. But yes.
I think he is.
You do think
he's worth the contract he got, not the one that people think he got.
Okay. Which is a big difference.
Right.
I think he's worth it.
You think he's worth what everybody thinks he got,
should be one of the higher paid quarterbacks in football, and that's what I think he's getting. I think the hard thing, and it's not easy, and I'm not saying Andy's wrong, by the way, because I know Andy has reservations.
He's never wrong.
I think the hard thing is when you have a guy that you know you can win games with, not necessarily win it all. I think it's really hard to sit there and say, do I lowball this guy and move on when I know I can do a lot worse?
Right.
You know, Cincinnati's going to go through this too on a lower level, because I don't think Dalton's anywhere near as talented as Kaepernick. But how do you sit there and say, I'm Cincinnati, I've sucked for 2 decades. Now I'm going to the play. Now my problem is I go to the playoffs every year and can't win.
Yeah.
My problem before was I can't win more than 5 games.
Right, can't get to the playoffs.
So you know how much worse it can get with David Klingler and
Achilles Smith
one jag after another. When I got Carson Palmer, I got better.
Yeah.
When I got this guy, I got even better.
Right.
So do I pull the plug and say he's not worth $110 million? I think that's really it's a really hard one. And I think those guys are worth it. I think when you know that you can win enough to get to the playoffs on a consistent basis, I think you got to hold on to them.
Christopher continues, Matt Ryan, $16 million per year. Don't know if it's the coach or QB that can't do the playoffs. Matthew Stafford, $12 million per year. Best receiver since Moss, still can't get in the playoffs.
Matthew Stafford only gets $12 million a year?
According to his...
That doesn't sound accurate.
I don't know. I
mean, he is signed.
He got one of the big contracts. He got one of the $100 million contracts.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought so too. Andy Dalton, $10 million per year. His mistakes are covered by the talent around him. You were just talking about.
Andy Dalton makes $10 million a year now?
I wouldn't think so.
He's on a rookie contract. Second round pick.
Where's this guy getting his numbers?
I don't know.
Is he asking, would you pay these guys that?
Yeah, the wording is a little confusing.
Oh, yeah. You got to pay a quarterback some money.
I think that's
his email says, right. It got me thinking how much these new QBs would get if their contracts ended at the end of the year.
That's what he's asking.
On the open market?
Yeah.
They're going to get overpaid.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because there's not enough quarterbacks.
They are. Those numbers are low.
Like you said about Cincinnati, you don't think Minnesota would take Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
Playoff caliber quarterback? Yeah. Not that you can win, but you can win games.
And there will be teams that won't be willing to bite the bullet on those guys, and that's kind of what I was talking about, not to bring it full circle to the Garoppolo thing, but that's what I was talking about. I think that there'll probably be a good chance that somebody like an Andy Dalton would be available to be your transition guy from Brady if you haven't been able to draft anybody in the in the interim. Because I still think Brady's going to be here for a minimum of 3 more years, probably 4 more years.
Okay. He says, Andrew Luck, $23 million per year. This guy's scary. I feel he'll make Brady Manning look like appetizers to his being a phenomenal entree in the next decade. Aaron Rodgers, $18 million. His skills will be starting to decline, but he reminds me of a mobile Brady. So much poise, and he's only going to be stronger. And finally, Brady, $13 million per year, all guaranteed. Love watching Brady play, but I'm starting to see the decline. Essentially a discount for the first 2 years for the team, but overpaying at the end. Allows room for the cap in the first 2 years also.
So did this guy make up contracts for every quarter?
Yes.
Sounds it.
Sounds it.
But I mean, I don't mind that. I mean, that's
it's like a game. Yeah.
No, I know, but he even like it's not just he's worth $13 million a year, overpaying for a first couple, and then it'll be cheaper on the back. Like he even has like a 3 year deal for $39 million. Like
I thought, it was a well thought out email. Now let's hope we can get a well thought out phone call from Eldridge in North Carolina.
We always do. He is a great, great caller. Eldridge, don't take that crap from this
crap?
Kid.
I said, let's hope we can.
You implied that we don't normally.
I did not.
You
did. I implied
that was
no
the
such
implication,
thing.
You V-neck, green no sweater thing. Wearing.
Eric may have implied it, but I'll say it.
Wait, Andy, I like this song, too. I got a car. Love it.
Oh, that's a good song. That's that's a nice addition to the George Strait legendary collection.
Yep. Yeah, but...
My feet are wet.
You got a truck, though.
Yeah,
and a car. Yeah.
You got a pick-em-up truck.
And a truck.
Did you meet any hotties on your way down to Alabama?
Oh, you meet a lot, man. I done told you.
Did you, you know?
No, we didn't go back in the truck or back in the hotel room. No.
Are you married or single?
Married.
Oh, okay.
Don't get him in trouble.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't dabble on the road. You know, what happens in the truck stays in the truck.
But what happens at home stays at home, correct?
Yep.
All right, what did you call in for today?
I listened to the podcast last night, and if I heard that spam the other day, I wish I gave a phone call to the listeners to question that knucklehead.
Oh, now, Sam Munson?
Yeah, Sam Munson. I admit, you know, some cases Brady did overthrow, but last year was a frustrating year with the supporting cast, and you got to look at that in consideration. But name me 5 quarterbacks do what Brady did and took him to the championship with the team he had. Name me one. Aaron Rodgers didn't do it.
Rodgers, Breeze, Manning.
Manning helped him out, you know. Yeah, Manning did it. Manning was just Super Bowl lost. Roethlisberger didn't do it. Matt Ryan didn't do it.
Wait, are we just talking about last year last year specifically?
I mean, I think if Rodgers was the quarterback of the Patriots last year, they would have gone to the AFC Championship.
I mean, Manning has certainly done more with less over the years, and every year rolled out a 13-win football team, very Brady-like of late.
Now, right now, Manning is stacked.
That's why I'm asking, are we talking last year only?
He's done it with a lot less than he had last year.
We all see how important Aaron Rodgers is to the Packers. He is their team. Right. So, I mean, certainly those two guys are on that level.
If they had to play...
I think you could argue that Aaron Rodgers right now has become the most important. He does more with less. He's young. He kind of does it all.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks.
Peyton always had weapons.
Not always.
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, I know. He had Reggie Wayne with Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley and Brian Fletcher and a bunch of stiffs.
And you get remember the tight end, too.
Yeah.
The number 44 that gave us trouble most of the time.
Yeah, Dallas Clark. Who do you think was responsible for Dallas Clark being a good player? Dallas Clark or Peyton Manning?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
But he's the better tight end than what we got.
You think a lot more of Dallas Clark.
That's a good answer, Eldridge, when you're fighting Paul. That's how you got to keep your answer.
That's okay. I think that Dallas Clark sucks. I think Dallas Clark is a total product of Peyton.
Yeah, he was not really older, but other than that, no. But right now, you're right. Right now,
no, not Peyton, right now. He's an old Dallas Clark's an old guy. I'm not holding it against him now.
Yeah, Peyton.
He was last year. He played for Baltimore.
If Peyton don't win this year, this is his fault. It's his fault. I hope we knock him out. But like I said, Brady always did more with less. Always did more with less. And like I said, I don't name 5 quarterbacks besides the 2-3 you just named. Could have did better than that. They had a chance to them do better than that. You know. But other than that, but back to the linebacker 6'5", Anybody know anything about Anderson?
The James Anderson guy?
Yes.
Yeah, like we talked about him earlier on the show, started his career with Carolina, was productive, had led the Bears last year in his 1 year with the Bears, led the tackles.
Good athletic player, yeah. Veteran experience, you know, 70 career starts, I think.
Good depth addition to an area that really needed it.
And, Paul, I agree with you too, man. If they get Darius Moore and the other two pass rushers, we'd be all right. So, like they
just say, so you know, they're not going to get all those guys. There's a shot in hell they might get one of those guys.
Yeah.
I know we don't get them. But I'm saying if they were, Darius Moore or one of the pass rushers, would be a whole lot better than we are now.
I think Moore is the most intriguing of the group. I think there's a chance Moore is sort of an unpolished diamond in the rough right now that Brady might have a lot of fun with.
I think he would, too. I watched a couple of games. Steve show.
One of these days they're going to get you a receiver that you like, Eldridge. One of these days. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Then they won't have a quarterback that Eldridge likes.
That'll run the wrong route the second time he Brady looks at him and he'll never throw him to him again.
Andy, remember what we talked about last year?
No.
We talked about last year?
He said no.
He said no while his mouth was full of it.
Watch Justin Hunter, you watch Cody Patterson, and you watch Derrick Rogers this year. This is what happened. And compare them to Ballard, Boyce, and Dobbs.
I don't know. I think Boyce has looked pretty good on the OTA field.
So far, the guy
that I've anointed in my mind as being Boyce way far away is indeed
the
Boyce.
The one that had the white
white on white spandex top, and I don't know why he's wearing white capri spandex. I don't care for those. But I think Boyce is going to have a good second season, and, you know, everybody has high hopes for Dobson.
I hope so, too, though. But like I said.
And Derrick Rogers didn't do a thing last year.
For the Colts. Remember, he was with the Colts. He caught a couple passes, caught a couple touchdowns, got a couple 100 yards.
He didn't really do a thing last year. I mean, if we're going to say that, I mean, Aaron Dobson caught, 40 passes? For about, 500 or 600 yards?
Something like that.
You know, I mean, Cordero Patterson, I think, is an intriguing guy because I think he's versatile. I like him as a playmaker. I didn't see a lot of Justin Hunter, I'll be honest with you. I know he was on the Titans, right? I didn't see a ton of him, but Derrick Rogers didn't do a thing.
That's why you're getting rid of Blackman. Watch. Blackman won't be there. Watch and see.
All right, Eldridge. We're gonna run now.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you tomorrow or the next show. He calls in so often, you know, we might as well. Food has arrived, so the boys have already started digging in. We're going to take a quick break. We've got tons of emails, a lot of phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline's lighting up today. The inbox is getting overflowed. So we'll get to all of that right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. they now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. People often ask us, where do you get your tickets? Well, the fact is we have a full buying department that every day receives hundreds of offers from ticket sellers. We personally select only the best tickets to provide you the best value and provide you with legitimate tickets, all with our industry-leading 200% guarantee. At Ace Ticket, we own the tickets we sell, so we only sell tickets we would sit in ourselves. For over 30 years, Ace has been Boston's own ticket agency. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
508-298-0398. 855-PATS-500. Andy, want to give out an international number?
Talk about for our, on the spot.
Well, I don't know. You know, you love to do that, so you can.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Francais.
Okay, oui, oui.
Oui, oui, 0800-912-384. That's 0800-912-384.
Okay, webradio at patriots.com. We've got a lot of people calling
in
today.
I'm an entertainer, Paul. You laughed.
Before we get to them, hang on the line. I know you're all waiting patiently. We've got a few emails we want to get through. This is... Hello, PFW. It's Dylan from Bloomington, Illinois. I've been a listener for a couple of years now, and I have to say your show's the best. I usually wait till Saturday to listen to the Thursday podcast, as nothing makes yard work more enjoyable than listening to you guys rant. Just wanted to weigh in on a couple recent show topics. One, the show is better with Andy because he's hilarious.
Thank you.
Don't let that give you a big head, Andy. Wait. But this isn't exclusive to Andy. It's always better when the whole team is together. The show does lag a little bit without Fred leading or Paul giving his excellent analysis.
It doesn't lag when Eric's not here.
And where Eric may be quiet for long stretches at a time is often perfectly timed astonishment at the direction Andy or Paul have gone off on is, frankly, classic comedy. Second point, Brandon LaFell. Okay, so this has been kicked around for a few shows now, and I just had to say I agree with the assessment from Eldridge that LaFell is not a player to get our hopes up over. I see him playing an Austin Collie role, i.e., he's there when you really need somebody, anybody. I have season tickets to watch the Patriots. I have season ticket to watch when the Patriots are not on national TV and few other teams, Bears, Broncos, Saints, Panthers. I watch the Panthers games mostly to watch Cam Newton. He's not an accurate passer, however. LaFell is probably the most drop-prone receiver I've seen starting for an NFL team. There are moments where he'll make awesome plays and others where you just wonder what is wrong with his hands. If you need an aggregate for LaFell, think of Darius Heyward-Bey and his dropping issues. Third point, tight end. I've been wondering for a while what the deal is here. Everyone watching the Patriots is in agreement that they should invest in another pass-catching tight end of quality, but they seem to be less concerned and stay pat with blocking tight ends. I was absolutely certain that in the second round it was a no-brainer to take C.J. Fedorowicz, but, well, they went with the odd pick of Romo 2.0. I hear JerMichael Finley was in town for a visit. If healthy, he could be an interesting low-risk investment for this year. Thoughts?
Yeah, I wouldn't touch Finley. The guy I want is Keller, and I'm still expecting them to sign somebody.
Surprised it hasn't happened yet.
Yes, I don't know why. I don't have a reason why.
It's past the June 1st deadline that we thought might be the reason why things hadn't happened yet. And
maybe they figure he's not healthy. He's finishing his rehab where he's at or something, you know, with his specific rehab plan. Or
now,
I don't know.
For a guy like that, let's say they do really want him, and yes, they're a little concerned about his health. Would it make more sense to get him in now, even if he's not participating, just so that he can start to absorb the offense?
Theoretically, yes. Certainly. No question. Get him in the playbook as soon as you can. But I'm just throwing, you know, random ideas out there. And like I said, maybe they know he has a specific training staff in Florida or wherever he's working with. And they've said, you know what, we're kind of in this phase, and this phase runs through June 17th. And we really want to, I don't know. I'm just throwing crap against the wall.
Okay. Dylan ends with, do you guys think perhaps they have been deliberately deciding to move the offense away from the two tight ends and use players like Vereen in a Darren Sproles type role instead? With the single dominant tight end, when healthy, quick screens, pass catching running backs, and a slew of just okay receivers, is the offense moving towards the Saints offense?
No. I think it's moving towards the Patriots personnel.
Yeah.
I just think if Watson and Gronk were out there, they'd be one thing. Hernandez and Gronk were out there. They're not. And Gronk's out there, they're one thing. When Gronk's not out there, you know, Josh talked about it last week. We were a jack of all trades last year because we had to be. I mean, I added that.
Okay.
He said jack of all trades.
Yes. No,
I get it. It was obvious because they had to be. You know, Vereen is here for a game, gone. Mm-hmm. Amendola's limited. Gronkowski not here, here, gone. You know, the various rookies had ins and outs and everything. You kind of need to, and they've done that over the years, but I think last year they really did it a lot with, you know, week to week and within the season.
Neil from Canada here. I find it pretty funny how the stat nerds are willing to demote Brady based on last season. Quarterback and receiver are completely dependent on each other, and it's worthless to evaluate either of them when the partner is a subpar, is as subpar as the receiving core was last year. Peyton Manning has woken up every morning for the past 15 years with at least three quality receivers to throw to. Brady's had to restructure his contract to not get Welker re-signed. It seems the defensive roster going into the season is as good as we could have hoped, but it could be all for nothing because we enter another season without a legitimate outside stretch-the-field receiver. How many short receivers do we need on the roster to catch passes on the inside? As much as talent is an issue there, it is a schematic problem, too. When we had Welker, Gronk, Hernandez, and Lloyd a couple years ago, that wasn't good enough. They all might be good at what they do, minus Lloyd, but they are all doing the same thing. Those championship games against the Ravens, they suffocated us within 10 yards of the line because they could, with no consequence. And since you guys have referenced it a couple times, I had to go check out Paul's now famous interview on All Access that he was on late for. After seeing it, I didn't see what the big deal was. Clearly, there was some labored breathing and perspiration, but for the most part, Paul recovered well and got his words out pretty naturally. Then I realized I clicked on the wrong date and was watching a regular episode of All Access. I then found the correct one, found the interview, and whoa! That's a tough one, Paul.
All right.
But I would say your black suit was very slimming. Keep your chin up, Paulie. You're the man.
Very nice.
Neil from Canada.
Very nicely done right there. See what you did.
Chris with a TIAN has been holding for a while. Patiently, you're the man, Christian. What's on your mind, buddy?
I don't care what that jumbo-headed son says. Your clothes are coming off either now or later. What's going on, guys?
Wow, you tell us.
What's the matter? You wussed out the other day? Couldn't respond?
He did. He responded via Facebook.
I couldn't. I had a meeting, and I couldn't get on the phone with you guys. So
that's all right. We read your retorts.
Meeting in Jackassville?
Yeah, that's right. But with the meeting with the mayor.
Oh, I thought you were the mayor.
No.
You're the founding father with the statue in the middle of town center. What do you got?
Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman. I like how you say that. Julian Edelman.
We saw him today. We talked to him a little bit after the practice.
How do you look?
I dropped some balls.
Everybody
did.
Some passes to
Moist. Everybody did.
And the question is, we talk about Dobson taking the next step and Boyce taking the next step and, you know, Gronk being healthy and the contributions he makes when he's out there. You know, last year at this time, wasn't it around like June, May or June that they signed Julian Edelman to a 1-year deal?
I think it was, might have been April, but
yeah, was it? It was not,
it was late in
right away,
agency.
But it was later on. I don't think it was this late.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was after like he went to the Giants.
Yeah.
Right. So looking at last year, do you think, he can be better? Or is last year really is what he is? And, you know, if he has Gronk in there, he has the same type of season, or is this a type of guy that can, you know, be, you know, sort of take over games from time to time? And, you know, you remember those great games Wilkie used to have where he used to catch like 13, 14, 15 passes.
I can see him doing that. Yeah, I can actually see him doing that, but I don't see him as a guy that takes over a game.
No.
Like, Gronk takes over a game. Edelman, I mean, Edelman is reliable. If he's healthy, he's out there. I think if you throw him the ball, he's going to catch it most
of
the time.
But I also don't think Welker ever took over games.
No.
Well, I think he's capable of taking over a game if Gronk's out there and the other team says, you're not beating us with Gronk.
Yeah.
And then you hit Edelman for 16 catches. And yes, he has a great day, but it was because the other team said, damn it, I'm going to make Edelman catch it 16 times to beat me. I'm not letting Gronk torch me.
I guess that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah. I think he could be better. I actually think he could. I didn't think he made as many plays as I thought he would. If you had told me that Edelman was going to have 100 and
he's going to have the ball in his hands that many times,
I thought he would have had some more where he makes a guy miss. And you know, in my mind, now there's a larger sample, but Welker, who I don't think is athletic, had more big plays than Edelman had in the small sample of just last year.
And
on 110
way
catches,
more athletic, I
like
think.
As a punt returner, you think of what he does. I thought he would have had a few more big plays. Okay.
Yeah. Sort of like the play he had against the Broncos in the regular season game where he, like, caught and he spun around and he dove into the end zone.
Yeah. I don't think, statistically, I don't think he can be any better. But I agree with Andy. I think you could see it and you'll know it. He'll make more plays.
Yeah.
He could if he gets, you know, if he makes another advancement in his career.
With him, I just think
the year seven jump, so to speak, Andy.
Well, no, but with him,
year six, is it year six? Year
with
seven,
him, it's just staying on the field. He did it last year, and that was great. It was the first time he did it, though. He can do that for a few more years, like Welker did. Then that's when he can make the progress.
I just don't see
if he plays seven games and then gets hurt and misses four or five games. That's not going to help.
Yeah,
that's what scares me.
I don't see him topping his numbers, his flat out receptions and yardage. But I do see him perhaps making more plays on third down, you know, eluding tacklers like Andy talked about, and, you know, taking one of those 10-yard slants and making two guys miss, and all of a sudden it's a 40-yard gain.
But only if he gets help. If he's the focal point of the offense like he was the end of last year,
he'll have two guys on him all the time.
He'll get the snot kicked out of him. He'll have no production. He'll stink.
Yeah, and they'll score 16 points a game like they were towards the end. Yeah, they're struggling.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
You good? Got another meeting with the high.
Let's move on.
That's right. We'll move on. That's right, Andy. I do have better things to do than talk to you. That's right.
All right. Let's get off mother's. I just got off yours. Oh, old school.
We'll talk to you next show, Christian. Thanks, bud. Tony from Virginia writes in. We were talking about the World Cup earlier. He said, "Guys, first time emailer. Love the show. Just a correction to what you guys said. World Cup teams are seeded, at least the first eight are, before the teams are placed into the groups." Well, that's true. They do have sort of a ranking, but still, the actual slotting into the groups is done at random. So, you know, teams 1 through 4 could end up in the same group, and they have to play each other early, and two of them are going to be gone.
I don't like it. It's dumb.
It's just the way they do it. But the World Cup is exciting.
But there is, you know, you can say it's just the way they do it. Doesn't mean it's right.
I didn't imply that it was right. I'm just saying it's
kind of like, you know, Bill obviously saw something in him. Oh, okay. That means he's right. You know, that's the whole basis. That's the whole basis of our show.
But I mean, part of that is exciting, though.
I don't think that's exciting at all. I mean, the event itself, I can understand why that's exciting.
It's not exciting to say you know that some of the lesser teams are going to advance because you put all the good teams in one bracket and they can't all advance, right? But it's can almost, they all advance? I don't even know how it works.
Not everybody in a group can advance.
They do
top two from each group.
So if,
and they
if
down conceived,
so now, if the best four teams are in one group, that's
two of them
one.
Are going home.
Two
and
of
that's
them
not exciting.
Two of them and that means another team is guaranteed. You know, there might be the worst four teams in one group, but
two of them are going to advance.
That's crappy.
And I don't think that's exciting. Now that
well, it might end up being exciting. It's not good.
That particular group, you know, with the four best teams, that particular group, that play would be exciting.
Yeah, but you don't want to have your best play in the first round. You want your best play when the cup's on the line.
Exactly, Mike.
Why is it called the World Cup and it doesn't have a cup? Isn't it a ball on top of a thing?
Yeah.
It's a globe, right?
It's a trophy.
Like the Stanley
it's
Cup
a trophy,
you can fill.
Yeah.
It's a cup. It's a chalice or whatever.
But cup also refers to the tournament.
Cup no, is, I know, is the, but I feel the, like they should have a cup.
An actual cup that they're giving.
Well.
Okay. I mean, but... I don't think they're not really naming it after the trophy.
Stanley
they're
cup
naming
has
it
a
after.
Cup.
They're saying it's the world tournament.
But Stanley's Cup is a cup.
It is.
I can pour
That's
liquids
right.
in it.
They
eat ice
can.
Cream out of it,
and other things that I've heard of.
What
stories of you know debauchery?
Oh yeah. How many women you think have been banged bent over the Stanley Cup?
I heard a lot of stories. I had.
And does the guy with the white gloves have to like stay and watch?
I don't know how that works, but.
Ooh.
And I do think that that
can he join in? No, no, boss. I was just making sure I was as close to the cup as possible.
I left the white gloves on.
Right.
I
<they're> on.
A lot of people have urinated in the cup.
Why would
I don't
want to do that?
Why would you?
Why would you
want to
do that?
Why would you disrespect it?
I don't know.
We should probably get Mark Harrison on the line.
Well, because they probably think, "Huh, this is funny. Someone's going to drink out of this later."
Yeah, but like. No,
they think it's funny.
Why do you get your joy out of what you're doing to the next person? I'd rather just get my joy out of it. Like, I would get joy out of banging some woman over the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's pretty cool. But peeing in it because the next people...
We have a guest looks. In the
But
in
peeing
the
in it, I don't get why you'd want to pee in the Stanley Cup. I can even see the other stuff, eating, like, your favorite food. Like, if you love spaghetti and meatballs, it's cool if you have your supper of spaghetti and meatballs out of the Stanley Cup. But urinating, doing gross stuff to it, that makes no sense.
I don't get it.
I could tell you that I had...
hey, Andy.
My boss...
What's more far-fetched, you banging a woman or you seeing the Stanley Cup?
That's not very nice. I have two children.
He should be killed. I mean,
why should he be killed?
We established that
on the last show.
Mike Giardi threatened me
on
Twitter. He's threatened to stab me with hedge clippers.
He really should. But my boss at the Herald...
Hank.
No.
Oh, the one you hate.
Yes.
Okay. So why the pause? Because you said last show you hated him.
Because now someone smart could out on my story, he could figure out who I'm talking about. His father.
You're not saying things that aren't true, right?
Was the director of security for the NHL.
So he had the gloves?
Saw lots of, like, they would just throw it in swimming pools and do all kinds
so
of stuff.
So somebody has had to have had sex on it.
Oh, I've heard those stories.
That's why I said it wouldn't be surprising to me.
But now I need to know where the guy with the white gloves goes during this. You know, does the guy say, you know, I need 5 minutes?
Yeah. But that stuff might have also been like, you know, in the rip-roaring 60s and 70s when, you know, that kind of nonsense behavior. Nowadays, everything is so prim and proper.
White glove.
You get some douche with white gloves and a bad hockey hair to come in.
Why is he going to
be hockey hair? He's just doing his job.
You don't think that... You just look at him and you're like, you think he has to look like that to do his job?
I think it's kind of an act.
Yeah. Douche.
No, I think it's kind of an act that they want it to
him.
Be.
Yeah.
Douche.
No, I think they want it to seem prim and proper and like add some layer of exclusivity.
But can't you do that without looking like that guy?
Well, if you just have a guy show up in cargo pants dragging it in a duffel bag, it loses its pomp
and
circumstance.
Why do you always take every argument to that level?
What level?
There's no in between, like some guy with cargo pants dragging the Stanley Cup to a guy in a tux with white gloves and a bad mullet. There's no in between there. You can't just be dressed like business casual.
Okay, you want jeans.
Whatever.
Flip-flops.
You're focusing on the actual clothes as opposed to the guy's look.
But I think
you
they
know
want
what I'm
it
talking
to look
about.
Like Alfred. They want it to be like the prim and proper butler delivering it. And
that's douchey to me.
Like in the movies where a butler brings something that could easily be served on just a plate. It has to come on a silver platter.
Just make it,
sir, your evening toast.
You could just do it with like Mr. Belvedere instead.
Fancy Feast, those commercials where the cat eats out
cat,
of... Like there's an image they are portraying.
Yeah.
Douche. That's my point.
No, exclusivity.
I know what they're portraying.
Elite. High end.
I love the NHL, but I think that is kind of stupid.
Jacob with a K from Denmark says, we're wrong about the World Cup. The best eight countries seeded are placed in different groups. The rest of the countries are placed randomly.
I trust you people to tell me what's going on, and you steer me incorrectly.
What happened?
We're wrong.
The email I just read.
It isn't like that. They're not all in good in one thing.
They seed the eight, and then the eight get put in their own group.
Listen, I'm with Andy.
According to Jake,
I'm with Andy on this one.
Well, you seemed like you knew what you were talking about.
I said, how do they do it? He said a blind draw.
Okay, so we're blaming Eric. It's all Eric's fault again.
They do the
once
blind draw.
Once I lean on you,
again,
I ask you something that I think the
so you can't have the best four teams in the same group. Is what
apparently
you're saying.
Not.
Okay. Well, that's better. That's better. I commend the World
is
Cup.
Is my guy Hart even on a team? Because you told me he was. But
was there ever a guy named Hart? How long have you been holding that out for me?
No, I actually saw him play.
He is.
He's on Manchester City, right?
Manchester City. That's correct.
Which is actually better than Manchester United right now, right?
Right now they are, yeah.
Because who do they have in goal?
Oh, boy.
They have no Hart.
They do have a Hart, actually, though.
And that's why they win.
They do. Then Dallas has a Mark, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up? I was calling in about the I was hearing you guys about the Kaepernick contract, and it kind of makes sense what you guys were saying, and I was hearing it too. And I was thinking, I want you guys to answer this. I was thinking that the 49ers should think about, you know, paying Kaepernick less and give him a little more years, because I think it's kind of a no-brainer giving him 7 years and almost $61 million on his contract, even though he led the team to one Super Bowl, which they lost in one playoff, which they lost to get to the Super Bowl. But it's like saying Tony Romo, like, you know, almost like Tony Romo, which he's getting paid a lot lately. But I want you guys to think about it. And
can you clarify your stance? Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sorry, it's just, I'm kind of comparing, like, almost like if Kaepernick was, like, almost like Tony Romo, because
he hasn't won anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he did come within a hairball of leading his team to the Super Bowl in two out of his three seasons in first 2 years as a starter. I am not a Kaepernick guy on any level, and I have my doubts as to what he can be when he doesn't have an elite running game and an elite defense. I have serious questions about what that is going to look like. And to me, if you pay a guy $20-plus million dollars a year, he should be the focal point of your team. He should be able to do his job at a very high level, almost regardless of what else is around him. And I'm not sure Kaepernick is that.
Like Brady has done.
Right. And now, I think Kaepernick, they've put a nice contract together where they've given themselves outs here. If they realize in 2 years that Gore is retired and the defense is fading and this guy's not that good and he can't win, okay, we can cut ties and find an actual winner who we can build an offense around.
And so, on the flip side, if he continues to win games and he gets better and better, you have him.
Correct.
So I think it's the way Andy is describing that contract, I think it's a home run for the 49ers.
So it's like almost saying that, you know, they're almost like fading away, right?
Almost what?
What?
I'm sorry?
Almost like, whatchamacallit, like, you know, like, it's just falling apart.
If who was falling apart?
Like, almost like if it's falling apart, like, I'm kind of curious. Like, the Niners.
If the Niners,
if the Niners
apart,
are falling apart?
Yeah.
What, right now you think they're falling apart? Is that your point?
Well, they're kind of overpaying Kaepernick a little.
Well, but I thought we just sort of explained how we don't think they're overpaying him at all.
They can cut him if
they
decide.
They can cut him at any time.
He's not what they thought he was. And they don't have
if
to
he doesn't
be on the
play,
hook for it.
If he doesn't play well, he's basically, the way Andy sort of described it, and I don't have all the contract details, but the way Andy described it, it's there's basically outs every April. They have a bonus to pick up the whatever every April.
And
so,
he said kind of like the Revis thing in Tampa.
Yeah, it's kind of like paying as you go, so they're not overpaying him. He's a top, right now, he's one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in football. I mean, he's coming off back-to-back years where he went to the Super Bowl and came within 5 yards of winning it. Then the next year he took his team to the NFC Championship game and came about, 10 yards away from winning that. I mean, I don't know why we're so fixated on they're overpaying him. That's what quarterbacks that win like that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was kind of confused because this is kind of my first time calling.
No, that's okay.
No problem.
That's okay. We're just saying that we don't really think that Kaepernick is overpaid. Andy is not as sold on Kaepernick long term as I am. I think Eric is. But it's a contract that the 49ers, if it goes bad and Kaepernick does turn out to sort of fizzle out,
they're not on the hook for
$60
million.
Hook for anything long term. They can get out.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Mick in Ireland says, Andy, how can you complain about the World Cup not having a cup as the trophy when you work for a sport with a name that makes no sense either? Football, there isn't much foot left in the football in the NFL.
Guys like Belichick have their way, there'll be none.
Love the show, and happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you.
And can we get the greatest caller in the world back in touch?
Oh, is that James? Most interesting Patriots
most
fan?
Most interesting Patriots fan? Could be.
Haven't talked to him.
Haven't talked to him in a while.
I think he died.
What? Why is he? You guys are obsessed with death and killing each other. What is going on here?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be anything great about it, though.
But he works in the security industry. He could die.
Well, why do you just assume that?
We have some interesting audio that our hardworking producer Kevin has dug up. I think we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Danny Amendola did an interview with
our old buddy,
our old friend Adam Pac-Man Jones, former host of the Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com, friend of the program. And at some point, the interview apparently went south, but I'll let you decide for yourself.
Now we're going to talk to a member of the New England Patriots, Danny Amendola, who last month launched his charitable foundation, Catches for Kids, designed to provide opportunities, support, and resources for children and families who are in need. And on Wednesday, June 11th, Catches for Kids will be holding a celebrity waiter night at Town Stove and Spirits on Boylston Street in Boston. Festivities include a cocktail hour, three-course dinner, served by members of the New England Patriots, and attendees will have an opportunity to participate in a live and silent auction. Tickets available right now for celebrity waiter night at DannyAmendola.org. And without further ado, Danny Amendola, the New England Patriots, joins us via the AT&T Expert Hotline. First of all, Danny, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, we want to get into Celebrity Waiter Night, but let's talk football here out of the chute before we get into that. How would you sum up your first season now under your belt with the New England Patriots?
You know, it's been a good experience so far. You know, I've learned a lot, and you know, I understand one thing, that these guys come to work, you know, excited to play the game, and they bring a lot of energy, and I'm excited to be a part of something so great. So I'm just looking forward to go out and work these OTAs, and then try to get better for camp and you know, try to play good football.
You've had a fairly extensive injury history over the course of your career and your time in the league, Danny. You've been described as injury-prone or fragile or even unlucky. Using that word or maybe another that comes to mind for you, how would you describe your injury situation?
It's not something I really think about, to tell you the truth. My job is to be as healthy as I can and to play good football, and that's really the only thing I focus on. So I don't really think about it too much.
How would you describe your physical health at this point in the off season?
I feel really good. You know, the program provides a great off season program, so everybody's getting stronger and getting faster.
You know, as we said, you know, you've been described as unlucky with some of your injuries. We all remember that clavicle injury that you suffered as a member of the St. Louis Rams, and I remember a hit a year ago that you took against the. I'll call back, I'm sure.
That was me.
I don't think so.
That was really...
You tell me that he'll call back, I'm sure.
He did. He sounded just exactly like Belichick. And just to clarify, it was a taped interview, so what we just heard was what they aired, but it was with Pac-Man in the background, so he's sort of...
Providing commentary.
Yeah, laughing when it goes south, and, you know.
Yeah.
But that was interesting.
And he didn't hear the... Like, you can so... definitively hear the phone click.
Oh yeah, yes.
As he's talking, he didn't hear that. For about
it does. It sounds just like Bill Belichick. Yeah. He'll come back, I'm sure.
Yeah. It reminded me of the football life on Belichick.
It's so ridiculous.
The snow game against Tennessee when he's talking to Mr. Kraft in his office, and he says it'll something along the lines of it'll affect the kicking game, and maybe the passing game. You know, the conditions, kicking you and passing you.
Maybe the passing game. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I really into solving the world's problems?
No, just ridding the world of the extra point.
He'll come back, I'm sure.
He'll come back, I'm sure. And for the record, he did not call back.
But Amendola's been taking a lot of heat for this.
Really?
It seems.
Has
his curtness and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he. I hadn't really heard much about it, but I think he deserves to take some heat for it. I don't think that... I think there's easy ways to get by. It's not really... He wasn't being grilled.
No,
put it that way.
I know. I think he's in a tough spot, personally. I really do. He was paid more than he's worth. He played up to his own resume last year, yet that was not nearly good enough for the pay and the expectations. He's in a place where the main questions about him are injuries, and he's in a place where the cardinal sin is to talk about injuries. Everybody's asking about injuries. He can't talk about it. I just think there's a lot of frustrations. He knew he was following a very healthy, durable, productive player in Welker. Now, I'm not saying he may have a douchey personality. I don't know Danny Amendola one way or the other. I'm not saying I think he's a good guy and being miscast. I just think he is in a tough situation.
He is. And because he's in such a tough situation, I think he's not doing himself any favors by hanging up in the middle of an interview.
I think, and I said this out on the practice field after Amendola dropped a terrible, terrible drop. If I were Adam Pac-Man Jones, I would have a grudge like you wouldn't believe every Monday.
You do that with everybody.
Danny Amendola drop Monday, and we talk about how poorly he played the day before, or I would just shred him. To me, you don't hang up on somebody, say, and he didn't even give him a chance. Can we move on from the injuries?
Right, yeah.
Talk a little more football and then
exactly.
Get to my...
Exactly.
I would have thought that would be the best way to do it.
That's the best way to do it.
If he was so upset
Are we sure he hung up? Like, has anyone tried to claim that he didn't?
The fact that he never called back.
Well, the fact that he never called back, I think, speaks.
Because we all know enough.
And we know he didn't get hit by a bus because he was out on the practice field today.
And we know that they didn't call him. So you can't even, use maybe he didn't have the number to call back. Mm. Somebody would have gotten back to them.
Hey, I've been there, Pac-Man.
Whether it be a PR guy.
Walked out on me in a TV interview.
Right. Now, we know enough in dealing with the Patriots that they didn't pick up the phone and call Danny Amendola for this.
Right.
Either a PR person or Danny himself called them.
Right.
So, he hung up. I mean, it may have been, there's a possibility that he was disconnected, but the fact that no one ever called back, much to... the surprise of Adam himself, who said he'll call back, I'm sure.
Dwight is in Alabama.
But not a big.
Dwight's in Alabama, and he, we hope, doesn't hang up on us.
Turn down your internet!
Andy, are you okay?
I will be if you turn down your internet!
My internet is turned down.
Then why do I hear myself?
Do what?
We're hearing ourselves.
Say what now?
Do you have the radio on?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Dwight.
Dwight, what do you got?
Oh. Hi, guys. How are you?
Here's where he's going to pretend that nothing just changed.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Hello!
10 seconds.
Oh, you just turned it off. I know you did.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You could totally tell the difference. We were on, speaker or something.
All right. What do you got?
With the rookie signings from the draft and the, whatchamacallit?
Free agency?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for free agency and for what you've seen throughout the OTA so far. I know that they don't have any numbers, but if you could describe which free agents you think have the best chance of making a team.
Rookie free agents?
Yes.
I've gone out on the board with Cameron Gordon, a long athletic linebacker, and Ray Finch. Is it Roy or Ray?
Roy.
Roy Finch, who... tiny,
career
but
minor
seems,
leaguer,
to have, seems to have
name.
Athletic ability. I like his spark, maybe some return ability. That's something,
so
we got to talk about.
What?
Is
not your picks.
The fact that, as we start to look at some of these roles and extra guys, the return game and how that factors in there, I don't know what the punt return situation will be. I don't know if Julian Edelman will continue to be the main punt returner, whether there's some differentiation there as he becomes more of a receiver, something changes there. They certainly don't have a lockdown kick returner. I think Boyce is very much in that mix.
Boyce getting a lot of special teams.
Tompkins stinks at returning based on what I saw last week. And as he's battling for a job, that might be an issue. And, maybe if Finch can be a guy that can return, maybe he can carve out a role for himself. But my early guys that I've picked up are Cameron Gordon and Roy Finch.
Well, Andy, I'm kind of shocked you didn't say Roy Tide when I called him, but it's okay.
Well, that's because I was listening to my own reverberations or echo or whatever.
I apologize.
Now, what exactly was the issue? Did you have us on speaker or was your internet too loud in the background?
Yeah. I had you on speaker in my car.
Okay, so trying to do the hands-free thing. I see.
Yeah.
What are your hands doing?
Shut up, Andy.
well
I'm
done.
On break from work, and I just...
Wait, you're one of those guys? What? Are you in your car by yourself?
Yes.
I got to be critical of this, because I was critical of, what's his name?
Nandi
Asamoah, because he wouldn't eat lunch with his teammates. He went out to his car. You don't get along with your coworkers?
Somewhat.
No, is the answer, just in case someone...
Hey, Dwight, I know the feeling, bro.
Now, you work in a factory?
Eric hates us.
No, I am an IT tech for HP and Xerox.
All right. So your main job is to say, did you reboot? Did you try unplugging it?
Basically, yeah.
How many times
you
got
the blue screen? Oh, that's
not
good.
What percentage of times would you say that happens, that was the reason for the problem that you were called in?
80%.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is tremendous.
I wish I had all that schooling to fall back on.
And then you have the occasional where people think that they can fix something. And you go in there, and there's small parts within the motherboard that are splattered all over the place. And it was like, well, I thought if I could just touch this and move this around, it could work.
That's awesome.
No,
wow.
No.
But, all right. Anything else, Dwight? Football-wise or otherwise?
Receivers that are still out there on the market that we could possibly pick up.
You've been talking about the whole show, that Denarius Moore.
Well, but he's not a free agent.
Oh,
that'd be a trade.
Yeah.
He's with the Raiders.
That is true.
Free agent. I got to go.
Andy's. Wow. Andy had
a Buffalo chicken calzone,
and it is now turning into orange fire water.
Andy, we won't be seeing him no more.
No, not for a little while. But I'm not really to answer your question, Dwight.
I don't have a wide receiver free agent.
Can't think
of one
off the top of my head at this point who's available and somebody I would say, oh yeah, I'd love to get that guy. I mean,
well, I definitely wouldn't have one that I would say I would love to get that guy.
No.
Okay. Shout out to the PFW Elite. I haven't been on that in a while because I've been working, but greater things are coming for the group. And thank you for taking my call.
All right,
thanks,
Dwight. Call in again. Andy is suddenly back again. That was
tells me
quick.
Both
bathrooms are full.
Wow.
Oh,
he's
going to
start.
It's going to be a tough one.
He's going to be breathing like Paul Perillo on all access.
Just clenching my cheeks. All right, we got a game from Mike in Rancho Cucamonga.
Not a game.
California.
Home of Patty Chung.
That's right.
Who spoke today?
I did not speak to him.
Did he?
I didn't either. I didn't really have any interest, but somebody said Patrick Chung.
Yeah, I know. He came in, he walked down to the end of the thing, and no one was over talking to him, and right that's when McCourty came in. I went over to to McCourty. I almost pulled a Fred.
Pulled a Fred right there.
Yeah.
And his third quarter numbers. The joke he tells every time and thinks it's the first time he's told it.
Isn't that every joke?
Yes, that's pretty much. Yeah. Anyway, Mike from Rancho Cucamonga. Who would be the more surprising cut? He's got a list of about a half dozen here.
I love these games.
More surprising cut. Amendola or LaFell?
LaFell.
Amendola, I'd say.
I would say LaFell.
I think it's more money for Amendola.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But I think that they already know that he can't play. They don't know about LaFell yet.
But
given
the track record that they've had with bringing in free agent receivers the last couple of years who haven't really worked out, I wouldn't be as surprised if LaFell fell in that category.
I'd be stunned. Stunned if LaFell got cut. Only because of his contract.
I'd actually be stunned if either of these guys gets cut.
That's why it's a surprise cut. If you weren't stunned, then it wouldn't be a surprise cut.
Yeah.
Correct. Thank you, Andy. That's good use of surprise cut.
Yeah. Vince Wilfork, Dominique Easley. Oh, they're not going to cut Dominique Easley.
Well, Dominique Easley. Yeah, I would.
So that's the answer. And
right?
Yeah. They're not going to cut their first round pick.
They're not going to cut their first round pick.
No.
You were looking around.
You were, distracted by the noise.
I heard like a
studio
beep or something.
I think you're distracted by the fact.
I'm distracted by that, yes. I'm going to need new pants and not just because they got wet in the rain in a minute.
Okay, Marcus Cannon or Ryan Wendell?
More surprising?
More surprising.
Cannon.
Cannon.
I think he was your left tackle today. I mean, he was out there.
I think they like him.
I don't know why, but I think you're right.
I think they feel he can play any spot on the line. I think they like him.
All right. Logan Ryan or Daron Harmon? That's a tough one.
Daron Harmon.
Most surprising?
Andy almost kissed me right there.
I would say Logan Ryan. But that one to me is a 6'5 pick 'em.
Yeah. That's too tough a call. That's a really good one, though. And the last one is a little odd. Ryan Mallett or Josh Boyce?
Ryan Mallett or Josh Boyce? More surprising cut?
Mallett. I would
More surprising cut.
Mallett or Boyce? I wouldn't say Boyce, only because I think they have so many receivers that...
Boyce.
Mallett, you think would be
Mallett
less,
or Boyce?
Less surprising? Or more surprising?
Yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if Mallett gets cut.
I would, kind of.
I think he's in a battle for the backup job. And based on what I've seen, he still has trouble throwing the football.
Right. I confused myself. You're right.
What did you think?
You're right.
What did you think you were talking about?
Well, I reversed it.
I wouldn't be stunned with either.
No, I wouldn't be stunned if either one of those guys.
So it's bad for this game. Because it's not surprising.
Well, it's still, you can have degrees of surprise.
I'm going to be surprised if I don't poop my pants.
Yemi in Texas. Guys,
Yemi!
What was, speaking of Mallett, what was your analysis of him coming out of college compared to Jimmy Garoppolo? In your opinion, who was the better prospect?
Mallett.
Coming out of college, Mallett.
He was certainly the more hyped, too.
But Paul and I are swayed a little bit because we like tall, strong-armed passers.
I might have heard
a Mettenberger.
Yeah.
I am kind of a traditionalist when it comes to that.
Drew.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger.
But, you know, but you can't also dismiss the fact that he did it in the SEC and was highly productive, you know, as opposed to a Division I AA program.
He even did it in the Big Ten. Remember, he had a good
he wasn't really good in Michigan.
Well, I thought he had decent numbers as a freshman.
Did he?
I thought he had big numbers in a short period of games played.
I didn't like him at Michigan. I actually remember watching him a little bit. But I think that Mallett was the better prospect coming out of college. I didn't love Mallett.
I didn't either.
Didn't love Mallett coming out.
No, you loved Kevin O'Connell.
I did.
I liked Kevin O'Connell a lot more. Why is it that like you're the only one who never makes any errors in evaluation?
No, that's a good one. I mean, very few third-round picks get cut immediately. I actually made fun of it the other day when I saw somebody wrote a story like talking to Kevin O'Connell about what Jimmy Garoppolo should have. Well, Kevin O'Connell knows nothing because if he does what Kevin O'Connell did, he's going to be run out of town almost as quickly as Kevin O'Connell
did. That's not fair, though. You can't be a coach or a teacher of any sort if you don't have an elite ability?
No, I didn't say that. Not at all.
So why are you saying that Kevin O'Connell, that's what he's doing now. He's working with these
guys.
Yeah,
I know, but you think
so why
he knows
he
specifically what
that?
It takes to stick around as a backup quarterback in New England?
Why not?
I think he proved quicker than anybody he didn't.
But why doesn't he know what it takes but couldn't do what it took?
Oh, I don't think you get cut immediately just for lack of physical skills. I think he didn't fit in at all here.
Really?
Yeah. I can't imagine they cut
him. You think it had something to do with his personality / work ethic?
I don't know. But you think it was just...
I didn't get that impression.
I didn't either.
I didn't cut him or sign him.
I think they felt it was apparent that he didn't have what it took.
Wow. If it was purely just... maybe. I mean, he did throw everything at people's shins and short passes.
Yeah,
and
I'm not going to pretend. He never got a chance to...
In a world where Tim Tebow gets a chance to develop... Like, Kevin O'Connell didn't deserve a chance to be for a little bit?
I was flabbergasted. I mean, I saw him throw those same passes at people's feet.
Was that the year, help me out, was that the year that they kept Hoyer as the rookie backup?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
I think so.
I agree with you. I was surprised that he got cut, but he did not, it wasn't like I was like, that's ridiculous, I'm up in arms. He didn't play well.
Yeah.
He didn't play well his rookie year.
One good preseason game.
Yeah, he made a couple of good passes
against the Giants, I think.
He didn't look good in practice in training camp, and I don't judge as much on the games, preseason games.
No, I'm with you.
Never know what's going on in those.
Practice, we get more of a legitimate.
And in training camp, the second time around, it didn't look like there was a lot of improvement.
But still, not to the degree
still,
where
I was surprised.
Where I thought, oh, they're going to just completely get rid of him.
I was surprised, but I disagree with Andy on that, and I'll ask him about it when he gets back. But do you understand my point is? I don't think that Kevin O'Connell is not in a position now to tell somebody what it takes because he didn't do
it. Bill Belichick didn't play offensive
there's
line
a lot
in
of
the
guys,
NFL, but he...
And there's a lot of guys. Some of the best teachers / coaches are mediocre at best players.
Sure.
You know?
Can know
and
how
Belichick's
to do it, but
case,
not be
a guy
able
who
to
wasn't
do it.
Even a player. He played at the college level at Division III.
Right.
Be the equivalent of Big Head being a head coach.
Asher In Illinois, not to be confused Asher with Usher.
Oh, my son TJ's yes. favorite entertainer.
Exactly. That's why I pointed that out for
Usher.
You. Lots of people seem to think that Aaron Dobson will be the breakout player on offense. In your eyes, what young player has the greatest probability of having a breakout season on defense?
Breakout Collins, player on defense, maybe. I would go Jamie Collins.
Jamie Collins. Only because we kind of saw a little bit of that at the end of
last
year.
I think he has the athleticism to be a breakout kind of guy.
Yeah. And he also says, Kevin, please mark tape it around the 35th minute when Andy shouts, screw Gronk.
And I looked at him and I was thinking to myself, I'm sure many women have.
We'll call back, I'm sure.
It sounds just like Belichick. It does. It's uncanny.
It really does.
You got to do something with that.
Yeah. Talking to me or Kevin?
Kevin, you're like that's ridiculous.
Like, so, yeah, they have the so same ridiculous. Like baritone.
Dude, that's
yeah.
so ridiculous, and he'll call and back. He'll call I'm back sure, later. Back and forth.
Am I really into solving the world's problems?
Yeah, actually,
we'll call back, I'm sure.
And then have him respond with "That's so ridiculous."
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it could make yeah. a little conversation.
Can make a little conversation between the two of them.
Exactly. Should have Jones come in.
Yeah,
he's back.
He is.
You couldn't be done.
Apparently.
Wow.
He was so upset that the bathroom was in use, he was dropping ethnic slurs on his way out the
no,
door.
No, no, no,
nice.
No.
Nice.
First of all, that's not a very cool thing that you just said.
And I'll tell you what I said. It was open, but then some Mexican went in it. It's not an ethnic slur. He has a Mexican soccer
from the team.
Oh, you mean one
team
of the
Mexico.
Soccer players? I'm like, yeah, it kind of was.
No!
If you said it on the air.
Part of Team Mexico went in the bathroom.
You're talking about one of the Mexican soccer players.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, I don't know about player, but equipment guy or something.
That's different.
No, that's offensive.
That's offensive.
What do you want me to call? Like he's
cool.
a Mex. He's here with
yes.
the Mexican soccer team.
Not right. cool what he did. That's
what?
Not. You don't bring something that might be on the line. You don't bring on the
but
air if it wasn't
not
set
here.
On
there
the
are no
air.
Rules.
You know what? Actually, well, there was a forget it. You know what's one of the more racist
things?
Yeah,
we have less rules
ever?
When he is here.
That I don't know why I just thought of this.
Yes.
Remember when they used to have the crayons called flesh or skin
yes,
tone?
Yes, skin tone, and yeah.
Like that, like this assumption that everybody has the same color skin or that this is what the
they
proper
actually had
skin.
A crayon that the yeah. color was flesh?
Flesh, or I think,
skin,
or skin.
Yeah, flesh.
And
was,
it was like a,
yeah.
a tan, brown,
it was sort
something.
Of an in-between color.
But, okay. like, that is just, you that could get away right. with a lot more back in the day.
But that just seems
it was a
like,
much better time.
Of course he thinks that.
I mean, people made fun of people, and they didn't, like, crawl up in the fetal position in the corner and cry about it for 3 weeks. You dealt with it.
That's because they weren't allowed to go in the same doors at restaurants and stuff.
No, but we got over
he's
it.
Not going back.
We got over it.
Who's we?
We went to other places.
This is where he,
this is where I need Fred, because I'm not,
I don't want to get to the second.
No, because this is how it always would end with Fred.
You were all there?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? You were persecuted?
That's when the eyes.
The
eye, out.
Yeah,
the
that's
eyes
what I did. Big, yeah, that was a visual, too. That was one of the few times we needed to have the camera.
Right. We all know our friend VIP Strippers is a big Oklahoma fan.
Yeah.
Sid Pardon Finch. My nasally voice. My cold is acting up here.
Sid Finch.
He points out that Jeff Howe either tweeted or wrote in his analysis here of OTAs, rookie running back Roy Finch, Oklahoma guy. Is a shifty little guy. He might make some highlight reel plays on offense and special teams during the preseason. And Strippers wants to know, does Finch make the team?
It's just
doubtful.
It really is impossible right now.
Oh, I thought for him to make the team.
No, not at all. I think that's a very apt description. I think he's incredibly small, but he's quick.
Well, he's a big small.
He's pretty thick.
He's yoked up.
Yeah.
I mean, he and Eric probably weigh the same, and one looks impressive and one is Eric.
Wow.
I knew he was going to do that. I just knew it.
But
because what do you weigh, honestly?
I weigh 145.
Oh, yeah, he's a little heavier than you.
But he's shorter than me, because when I interviewed him, he was actually a little bit shorter than
But he's
than
jacked,
I am.
And you're you.
You talked to him today?
No, when a couple weeks ago when they had the rookies the first time after the draft.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just we've had two practices that have nothing to do with any kind of competition at all that we've had.
Here comes the wet blanket.
No.
Sucking the fun out of
immediate
reactions.
What I'm saying,
it's okay
reactions.
For him to make a reaction that is actually voiced on
Boyst
on something he can't possibly know.
I like Boyst.
He looks more confident.
I like Boyst.
It's not even he looked quick. He caught the ball well. He looked more confident.
You're missing my point.
I'm avoiding your point.
I have no problem.
There's a difference.
I have no problem with the immediate reactions. You had an immediate reaction to the linebacker, Cameron Fleming.
And Big Cat Williams once, and I was
Cameron
right.
Gordon.
John Lynch, I
Cameron
was right.
Cameron Gordon, right?
Cameron Gordon is your guy. Yeah, I like him.
Roy Finch, we both had an immediate reaction to. I have no problem with that. I'm talking about we had either a caller or an emailer about 20 minutes ago ask which undrafted free agent has a chance to make the team. And now we're talking about, from strippers, about Finch. It's just it's an impossible exercise at this point. It's hard enough after training camp identifying the one that, you know, or two that are going to make the team. We know someone's going to.
The one place where Jeff is right is he'll make plays in the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Some third or fourth quarter, he'll be making some plays.
And then he'll get a lot of the hype.
He'll make some other stiff look silly.
Yeah.
But we got to be careful with strippers, too, because if we say one good thing about him, it's going to be all over Oklahoma message boards that the PFW crew thinks Finch is great and going to make the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
I think that he is extremely quick and just...
He stood out a little bit today.
My first impression just watching him. Yeah, I mean, I think he has NFL athleticism.
He doesn't look
awfully small though.
He doesn't look like he's out of place out there. He looks smaller than everybody, but he doesn't look like he doesn't belong out there.
Yeah, there was one. Was that a kickoff that he was running?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was like literally someone's little brother was running the kickoff back.
Yeah.
Little right? athletic brother.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's
Jack,
what I said. He has.
Yeah.
He has.
Not Eric's little.
He has NFL athleticism. There's no doubt. I know Matt Patricia told me everybody in the NFL is athletic, but
Matt Patricia made an enemy in Paul last week. Paul did not like an answer, and now he's like offended.
He didn't make an enemy. He's one of the guys that we like. I mean, why do you have to exaggerate everything so much?
That's what he does.
I just thought it was a silly answer to
it's what works in this world now.
We're talking about getting quicker and more athletic on defense, and he says everybody in the NFL is athletic.
Kevin, are we still planning to do the little segment that we planned yesterday? We can do that maybe to close out the show.
The hell are we talking about?
The little surprise we were going to...
We got to do that.
Who dropped that ball?
We should have done it before the last 10 minutes.
No,
Kevin, you useless slut.
We can do it to end the show. It'll be a fun way to end the show, I think. We can save it. We'll do it for the last part of the show.
We're getting close to the end of the show.
I know we are, but we still got some emails and stuff we can get through.
Okay, so read some.
I will. Oh my God, we can't even just
do it
plan
in like
the show.
Minutes.
This is Roger.
You should be carrying around the Stanley Cup.
I don't know what that means.
You're a douche.
Yeah, but I don't dress up well. And
no, you don't. Roger, this is...
I don't like dressing
Roger
up.
Roger from, and he writes this,
my
Mannersville,
sweat. I would
Massachusetts.
Sweat through those gloves.
Mannersville, Massachusetts.
Mannersville.
Yeah, because it goes along with what his email
no
is
manners?
About. Yeah. Guys, mainly Fathead and Paul, please.
How come no one calls him Fat Belly?
Stop eating during the show.
I didn't.
It seems like over the last few weeks, more eating has gone on than ever. It always seems to carry over from the break with Paul and Andy heavy breathing, chewing, making those gross noises when fat guys are stuffing their faces. Eric and Fred don't seem to do this. It really distracts.
First of all, Fred does, and Eric's the biggest. Eric does it every day because he brings lunch even when we don't order lunch. So
Eric
is the
chews gum on
biggest.
The radio.
Yes, Eric is the worst offender.
He's laughing.
I'm not snapping bubbles on the air.
But you're chewing gum and you can hear it. And I want to say this as well.
Well, he's not done yet with his email.
I eat my lunch every day when it comes. You guys make fun of me all the time because what do?
You turn the mic off.
I take like 5 minutes off of the show. My mic is off. And Andy, you always make fun of me for that. Oh, Paul's in the period show. Don't interrupt him. He's knee deep in a calzone. Right?
He does.
I usually say deep throat in something.
I do not chew my food on the air. I always shut the microphone off.
He breathes heavy all the time. That's just him.
Only on All Access.
Roger continues, it really distracts from the show. It's unprofessional. If I wanted to hear gross...
If I were a professional, I'd be getting paid for this.
If I wanted to hear gross eating noises...
Another fair point by Andy.
I would eat lunch
three in this
with
show.
The swamp donkeys here at work.
Swamp donkeys?
Yeah.
What is a swamp donkey?
I don't
that
know.
That doesn't sound very
I wonder where
nice.
He works, by the
I'm
way.
I'm pretty sure that's not a complimentary term.
Please, guys, maybe play some extra pre-recorded material to make the break longer or something, but just muting the mic and eating in the studio isn't cool as it's picked up on other mics when someone decides to talk with their mouth full.
It's not...
Neither of you guys look like you'll die if you'll miss a meal, so either eat more quickly, make the break longer, or sit in the other room until you're done and let the guys with manners talk.
We don't have anybody on the show with manners.
Mute doesn't cover up food gross noises.
Yeah. So you stop chewing gum on the radio.
Long time listener, by the way, he says. Love the show.
Love ya.
Right.
Now we
what is that? Swamp donkey?
Swamp donkeys.
I like that term. I don't know what it means, but I may start. You know,
we're all guilty of chewing on the radio sometimes. But yeah. Listen, it's not hard. It's not like it's our lunch.
We're having lunch. That's right.
Swamp donkey. Oh, it's not racist or anything, is it?
Oh no, that's why I was asking.
Please,
maybe we should look it up before we start throwing it around.
Because I was just thinking of like a donkey stuck in a swamp.
And what else would you think of?
No, I know.
I just know like Dominic the Christmas.
We've had issues before where I don't even care about that. That's just Italian, right?
Yeah, right, because
you can still make fun of the Italians.
You can make fun of that.
That's right.
Catholic? Italian?
That's a real song, you know.
Take Irish a shot. Catholic.
You know Italian? That's a real Italian song.
Dominic?
No, but like, there's an original. Like, I was in an Italian restaurant in the North End once playing real Italian. And I was like,
this is Dominic the Donkey.
This is the Christmas Donkey, but it was like a real song in Italian.
Dominic the Donkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they made fun of Fred for that.
No, I know. But I didn't know it was a real song.
Oh!
And I was in an Italian restaurant, and I was
see.
Hey, this is Dominic! Like, the music.
I see what you're saying.
It sounded like a freaking opera or something to me, but... That's not actually in it.
Fred the Christmas Donkey.
Yeah, like, the tune is in it.
Jimmy from Avesta, Sweden.
Sweden.
Is sending
this isn't
this in.
Sven?
No, it's Jimmy.
Sven from Sweden.
Zero-time caller, two-time emailer, three-year subscriber of PFW daily. So I'm trying to give back.
Thank you.
Guys, I hatched a plan 4 years ago this offseason that I would convince my girlfriend to come to Boston with me for the venues, friendly people,
PFW.
And beautiful scenery in the fall. Well, 4 years later, with a child arriving and in between a house purchase, new workplace, etc., blah, blah, seems that if my plan will finally come through this fall, I will have to attend a short lecture or something or other at MIT, and then my boss will take care of the travel expenses.
Nice.
My now wife is okay with it since it will be our first visit to the States, and for that reason alone, she would be willing to endure a Foxborough visit.
What about the Bambino?
The main thing here is that we are going if and only if I can get my hands on two tickets to a home game. So,
talk to Fred.
My questions to you are obvious. Is it possible for us to get tickets to any home game, and how do you get them? Well, we have our partner,
Ace Ticket.
Yes. Sponsor of the Ace Ticket Hotline. That would be, I think, your first stop.
Certainly.
Jimmy. Try to get in with them. They usually have enough available. Depending on what your price range is, you might be able to get some pretty good seats.
Or you could join the season ticket waiting list, although I'm not sure.
I'm not sure how that works.
Or you could, third option, call Fred. See if Fred can help you out.
Ace Ticket would be your first stop. And I think you would probably do fairly well there.
Yes.
I don't think you'd have to.
I still want to know where the baby's going to be. Or kid.
I'm sure they have those arrangements.
Kids are resilient nowadays. You know? They can fend for themselves.
But, I mean, it's at least, like, under 3 years old or 3 years old.
Second question. Which game would be the best to pick
Broncos.
For our trip?
Oh, well, not for your purposes of trying to buy a ticket off Ace Ticket because you'll pay through the nose.
For the Broncos game.
For the Broncos game.
But if you want, he talked earlier about
the Raiders foliage,
the
opener,
scenery.
The earliest, the beautiful.
The beautiful?
The scenery. The foliage.
The beautiful,
exactly,
right?
I mean,
America, the.
Yeah. That's like
the last week
like
in
the
September?
Iraq and such.
The
yes.
Are you two just going to have your own conversation?
September 21st.
It's week three.
September 21st.
First tour on the road.
First tour on the road.
Pretty good time.
Right. Yeah. Late fall.
Still warm. Heck, you could probably even still swing in a trip down to Cape Cod and for a beach
possibly.
If you wanted to. And
possibly. Plus, home.
What
opener.
Is your problem?
I'm cold. Man.
Oh, I am too. I actually have that feeling. You know when you go like sledding or
I'm
play
chilled.
With the kids outside
you get the
and all
the
you
want
to do is go in and put on like pajama pants and a hooded sweatshirt? That's what I am right now.
Yeah.
Moist and cold.
Okay, so we've got that settled. We go to Ace Ticket. You ask for the Raiders game. Season opener, home opener.
You come for a week, first of all.
Right.
You sneak in some Cape Cod time because it's late September. You're still going to get
possible.
Some good warm weather. You know, see the beaches, take your wife for a nice long walk on the beach.
Yes.
Women like that.
Yes.
So Andy's told.
Yeah, I don't know.
Since I have, this is Jimmy.
Eric wasn't.
This is Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Since I have no clue of what to do on game day culture-wise, give me some advice, please.
Time, no culture on game
time,
day.
Time to get there, how to get there, what to do. Well, kind of depends on where you're staying.
Right.
Because there is a nice hotel right here on Patriot Place called the Renaissance.
Again, that'll be
a little pricey
for
game day.
I'm not sure what the funds are.
Pay through the nose on that one.
But he said earlier his boss is taking care of the travel expenses because he has to do the thing at MIT.
And boss, I gotta stay at the Renaissance in Foxborough.
Well, if you're doing something at MIT, I would imagine you'd be
probably
staying closer
to
Boston.
Cambridge or somewhere.
But
in
there
Boston,
is a game day train
yes.
that is
commuter train
comes in, comes out, that if you were up in the Boston area that you could certainly use. You could rent a car if you wanted to. Easy trip down Route 1 if you wanted to.
Yeah,
man, you're probably going to need a car if you're going to the Cape.
Easy trip.
It is.
Yeah.
On game day, though,
it's nice and slow.
Route 1, Route 1 traffic, just so you know, Jimmy, is horrendous on game days. So you should try to leave as early as you can.
Paul actually comes from the north, so he could pick you up.
It's a 1 o'clock game, so I think the gates would open at 9.
Yes.
I believe the gates open
4 hours before kickoff, the parking lots are supposed to open. So if you leave...
Yeah, at the parking lot gates, not the gates that stay.
Right, exactly. If you leave Boston between 9 and 10 o'clock, that...
But if you want to really experience it, you can come early and tailgate, walk around, see the various tailgate scenes, hit the club lot where there's a lot of very impressive setups.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure you're a friendly Swede, so you can just kind of mosey your way on in and experience the culture, as you put it.
Where do you stay in Boston? What part of town?
Well, wherever you want.
I mean, well, but he's asking for like our favorites. If we were going to go to Boston and stay in Boston, where would you stay? I think the Seaport's a nice part. Along the bay there.
That's beautiful.
You know, that's
there's
a great view.
There's plenty of nice hotels in Boston.
There's a lot of different hotels.
There's what used to be the Ritz. It's now the Taj. There's right along
right near
the
MIT.
Arlington stop.
There's a Hyatt right on Memorial Drive, the MIT campus. It's a really nice hotel, too.
Yeah.
There's a W that's like kind of between Faneuil Hall and the North End in there somewhere, like that Farmer's Market or whatever, somewhere there. You could walk up to the North End, have a nice dinner with your lady friend.
Very good.
Boston's a walking city for your own.
It is a walking city.
Pretty much anywhere you stay,
you
could probably walk.
Especially
if
the only
nice.
Problem with that would be the game itself.
Oh yeah, you can't walk to the game.
You're 45 minutes from the stadium
With no traffic
in Boston.
Right. Yeah, with no traffic. So you're looking at probably about an hour and a half to get there normal time.
Paul
and this last one, here's a strange one. Maybe how do I get my hands on a Devlin jersey? I just love that guy, and the TD he scored last year will forever be imprinted in my memory.
You're going to have to custom order it.
I will forever be in your debt and even spring for lunch if you can figure out how I can do that from Sweden. Well, I think you just call the Patriots Pro Shop, order a customized jersey.
You can just go online and pick it.
Yeah. PatriotsProShop.com or something along that.
That's how you'd have to do it.
That's how you do
it. You'd have to make it.
Customize the jersey.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to walk in the Pro Shop and just get a Devlin.
No, but you customize.
Yeah,
you order a customized jersey, get the 46, put the Devlin on the back, you're set.
Put the Devlin on the back.
Right.
People will think you're part of the Devlin family.
Yes, exactly. You might get, you know, special treatment as you walk through the parking lot. Thanks, everyone, for 4 years of entertainment and counting. Go Pats and go PFW. That's Jimmy from Avesta, Sweden.
So do you guys want to try to do this thing?
Yeah. Now, we have a little surprise we're going to spring on somebody. What's the person's name?
Her name is Lakitra.
Ooh,
Lakitra. And
she apparently listens to our show quite frequently.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if
so
she
might know already.
Live or podcast?
We just blew the secret. You know?
I'm not sure. I didn't get too many details, but we're gonna try to do.
And it's a birthday she's celebrating.
It's a birthday. I don't know
I really
which
don't
one.
I think we should have been talking about it before we called.
Yeah, you're never going anywhere. Morning radio.
Okay.
Because what if she's listening? Now she
if
knows
she's
we're
listening,
calling.
Now she knows.
Well
hopefully,
and knowing is half the battle.
We'll see.
You know what we should get to?
I have a feeling we're just gonna.
Can
get
you get
a voice
the Katy Perry raspy voice?
What's her name? Lakitra?
Lakitra.
Okay. All right, we're gonna try this.
I'm gonna dial this.
Dial this number.
I'm saying there's no shot in hell this works.
We'll try it.
Not even sure
hopefully
you know how
to call
out.
Hopefully she listens to the podcast, because that would be funnier now.
I think we're going voicemail right here.
Okay, we're leaving her a voicemail.
That's
what
true.
Are we saying? Ready?
Yeah.
We're going to sing?
Wait, hold on. We're going to let it
happy
dial
birthday,
first.
Happy birthday, baby.
What?
He should be killed. I'm telling you.
Again?
It's
how many
it's
times is he going to do this?
He's just...
All right, here we go. We're ringing.
What's her name?
Lakitra.
As many times as it takes, by the way, to answer your question.
Wow.
We could be getting punked, too.
It would be great if we were calling another radio show.
Right.
Catfished. We're getting catfished right here. Voicemail.
Dang it.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging
system.
Don't let the number go down. Yeah, don't. Yeah.
We should just say, call me back.
Yo, what's up, girl?
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Lakitra.
What's up, girl?
Hey,
how you
girl.
Doing?
It's Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart from Patriots Football Weekly and PFW in Progress. We heard
what are you wearing?
Birthday. That's Andy being inappropriate as usual.
Andy wants to know how hot you are, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday, girl.
How hot you are? How hot you are.
I thought you said how hot.
You should have answered the phone. See, you.
Yeah.
I do the same thing you do. If I don't recognize the number, I don't pick up, but this time it cost you.
Was it just a hang up?
I don't know. Might have been.
Did somebody just hang up on us?
I'm sure.
No, she's still good.
Okay, good. Well, you know what? You're going to have a great time listening to the podcast of this show because it's your birthday and we're wishing you happy birthday.
So she'll be hearing it on the air and on her voicemail. And this is like crazy.
Exactly.
Man.
Enjoy. Have a good weekend.
Happy birthday.
Crazy.
Should have answered.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good, Kev? Yeah, that was fun.
We should have left our number to call back.
She knows. 855-PATS-500.
She listens all the time.
855-PATS-500.
The first time that I actually dialed out was able to get like the dial tone and everything on the air, so I was kind of excited.
I knew
you didn't
know
what you were doing. No, I didn't know what I was doing.
I knew you had no
idea. No, I didn't know what I was doing.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this special edition 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock live show.
Happy birthday.
Our second... He's trying to do his best Marilyn Monroe voice over there.
No, it's my best.
He thinks it's Katy Perry.
Oh, doing
the big
Marilyn
balloons.
Monroe. Yeah, the big balloon song. Yeah. Well, we've had our second OTA practice. It was a soaker today. Next week.
Andy flying solo next week.
Andy flying solo next week. I'll be out for the next 2 weeks. Paul.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. Paul, you're going to be missing part of the OTAs next week?
I will be missing
the access day?
Yeah, the access day.
I don't know. I can't finish.
I think it's the 12th.
He had a stroke. It's all downhill from here.
I'll be here early in the week, but I'm going to be missing Wednesday and Thursday.
Freddie
and we
Boom
have access
Boom?
On Thursday.
Freddie Boom Boom coming back
next week.
He'll
be back from La La with a tan.
So maybe he'll be able to watch some OTAs with you, Andy.
Be just me, as usual, carrying it all.
Andy and Kevin and maybe Fred will see you next Tuesday.
I'll call back, I'm sure.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.